Well, greetings from Peabody, Massachusetts. We've got high school football tonight. Tonight at Coley Lee Field at Peabody Veterans Memorial High School, it is the Peabody Tanners hosting the Beverly Panthers. Peabody coming in with a record of 1-1 and Beverly at 2-0. And this presentation of MSONewsSports.com is brought to you by Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go. Enjoy the local flavor. Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plastown, New Hampshire. Moore, GMC of Danvers, serving the North Shore since 1969. Harrington Trophy, rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Attorney Robert J. Madruga, see Bob for all your estate planning preparation. Gloria Food Store, consistently Beverly's number one deli. The Lynn Museum, 590 Washington Street in Lynn. Columbia Insurance of Lynn, offering auto, home, condo, renters, and business insurance for complete peace of mind. The Porthole Restaurant, try their award-winning clam chowder. The Lynn Auditorium, one of the premier entertainment venues in the state. And the Daily Item of Lynn and itemlive.com. Well, good evening on a spectacular early fall, really early fall night here in Peabody. Full moon, almost a full moon, shining overhead just above us across the field behind the Peabody High School. Both teams on the field warming up, Beverly down to our left and Peabody down to our right. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and tonight, Marty Smith joins us.
Good evening.
How are you?
It's very nice, and it's nice to be back.
Paul Ingram not available tonight, and Paul, wherever you are, hello. Yeah, and big game tonight early on. Last week it was a battle of the unbeatens between Gloucester and Beverly, 1-0, but this one's even bigger.
This has always been a natural rivalry between these two teams, and then it broke off when Peabody went into the GBL and Beverly stayed in the Northeastern, and now they're back. This is the opening game of Northeastern Large for both of these teams. Beverly's won the last four. They lead the series 31-26-3, and it's been 18 years since Peabody won, but I think that you're going to see a good game tonight. I think it's going to be competitive. Beverly can certainly put the points up, and we'll see how Peabody does with that. It's going to be a grinded-out game on the field.
Well, what nobody's talking about is the Beverly defense. They have been superb, shutting out Gloucester this week and holding Wakefield, I believe, to one touchdown on the opening week. And, of course, Peabody coming in with a loss to Wellesley, 20-7, I believe it was, and then winning last week over Somerville rather easily. So this is a test for each team, both in the Northeast Conference Large, and we'll see what's going to happen here very soon. We'll talk about both offenses and both defenses. We will be talking with both coaches in our Moynihan Lumber pregame show. So we'll take our first break of the night and come back, and we'll check in with Beverly football coach Dan Bauer right after this.
This is MSO Web Radio at morestuffonline.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan at Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plastown, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
If you come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
I'm Tim Kearns, and this is Panther Profile, brought to you every week by the Gloria Food Store, 268 Rantoul Street in Beverly, for all your potty platter needs. It's Gloria Food. Joining me, as he always does every week during the football season, is Beverly head coach Dan Bauer. Dan, big win last week to move 2-0 on the season.
Yeah, it was a good win. We're a good win.
You know, certainly the score surprised, I think, most people who looked at that game as probably the marquee game of the weekend. Two teams coming off solid victories the week before. The where was Gloucester was big, solid, you know, and they were going to present a problem for you. And you guys had the big win against Wakefield, and you would also present problems for them. However, the final score is indicative of maybe something less than a fair fight.
Oh, I don't know about that. It was, you know, the game was really tight going midway through the second quarter. You know, we really didn't get a whole lot going offensively, and it was a game of field position. You know, I think we came up on top of that, and then we were fortunate to go in with a late score in the first half, and that really, you know, put us in a comfortable lead, but you never feel comfortable up there. And, you know, obviously they battled the whole time, and, you know, we had another field position issue with the muff punt at the end for that last score. So, you know, it's hard to tell. We made a lot of mistakes in that game, but, you know, the kids worked hard. They played hard, so, you know, we were happy to get out of there with a win.
All right, now this next game, coming up, Peabody, they're coming off a disappointing loss the first week, big win last week against Somerville. Doug Santos was back to being Doug Santos again. And again, the team is obviously going to be fused with a renewed confidence coming off the success of last year and then getting that kind of a bounce-back win in week two.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing good football, a big shutout against, you know, a former GBL opponent. You know, that's always a big game for them, and certainly, you know, they played well in all facets of the game, you know, and they were able to control the ball for most of it, and they played really good defense, so it's going to be a big physical matchup for sure. You know, obviously one of the best running backs in the state, and really they're not a one-man team. You know, there are a lot of contributors on that team, so it's going to be a big task for us.
You know, certainly we talked to Matt this past week on the Monday night show, and he was saying the, you know, one of the biggest tasks he had was rebuilding the offensive line, where he lost all his veteran line from last year that did such a great job in blocking for Santos, and that line may be coming together maybe a little bit faster than he anticipated.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly can see the improvement they made from week one to week two, and you know, it's hard to tell because, you know, every year is so different, and you know, certainly when you get the line, it's all about chemistry too. And then once it clicks, then look out. So, you know, and particularly with the weapons that they have, you know, again, you know, it's going to be a big matchup.
You know, certainly, and the way that things will play out this year, going into the first week of the of league play, this is where you really need to establish the momentum heading into the middle of the season.
Yeah, it establishes a lot, you know. Certainly, you know, going, this would be week three, and then obviously this is a 7 week cycle, then you go from there. But, you know, jumping into league play is always important. It's a big game for both teams because of the league play, but certainly, you know, it's one of those games where you kind of measure your team, where you are at this point. You know, did you take a step forward from last week? You know, was your team one that read the press clippings and didn't work as hard during the week, or did they ignore the press clippings and get out there and work hard to improve each week? And that's what we're trying to strive for, is really, you know, eliminate the noise and work really hard and get better, because we made a lot of mistakes last week, and we keep making these mistakes, we're not going to improve. And in this game, you can't stay the same. You either get better or you get worse. So we're hoping that we take a step forward.
You know, again, certainly, I know you got a bunch of things you got to take care of. So we're going to leave it at that. I'll talk to you at the end of the week for a recap. If not, we'll do this again next Wednesday. I want to thank you, as always, for your time, Coach.
You know, I always appreciate it, Tim. Thank you very much.
Okay, that's been Panther Profile with Beverly head coach Dan Bauer, brought to you by the Gloria Food Store, 268 Rantoul Street in Beverly. For MSO News Sports, I'm Tim Kearns.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan at Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
I'm hungry right now. Do you smell hamburgers?
No. But
oh, okay.
That doesn't mean anything. I did see a hot dog, though.
Okay. All right, well, both teams are still warming up down in the field. Again, Beverly down to our left and Peabody down to our right. A resurgent Beverly Panther, Peabody Tanner team the last couple of years, but Beverly maintaining excellent play under Coach Dan Bauer for low these many years. And Marty, this year, no exception, starting off with the wing tee, amassing, 69, 70 points in the first two games. Matt Madden, Malumba, who am I missing? Christian Miller, just starting off where they left off last year.
We got Schwinnard in there, you got Jordan Rodding in there, but you come back to Matt Madden, and he's up there with 12.3 yards per carry on average. He's had the ball 18 times for 222 yards. He's got four touchdowns only after two games.
Two games, yep.
Plus, he's got five field goals or extra points. So
Madden is unbelievable. Yep. You should wait till you see this kid kick. If you, if you don't remember from last year, holy crow.
So we're looking, too, at Miller with 10 carries, Schwinnard with 11, Malumba with 7. Rodding with 3. Abatey's got 11, too, with 121 yards. We've also seen them go in the air a few times with Miller having three receptions for 20 yards, two receptions for Schwinnard, one for Abatey and one for Garrity with no gain on that one. But they've distributed the offense pretty well, and that's been one of the marks of the Dan Bauer team.
And last week against Gloucester, they exhibited a very, very strong line on both sides of the ball, controlled the line of scrimmage. They did not get a lot of yards last week, but they had field position all over the place, so they really didn't need it. All right, let's see. We have Peabody and Beverly coming up for you over on Channel A tonight. It is Revere at Lynn Classical, and the Revere Patriots under Coach Lou Ciccatelli starting off 2-0. Good for them. They faced a test tonight, of course, at Vantage Field, and tomorrow we'll have another video game. By the way, the game over in Lynn is on video. And tomorrow we'll have another video game. It will be Gloucester at Swampscott. That game at Bloxage Field, scheduled to kick off at noontime. And again, the weather just couldn't be more perfect for a high school football game this evening. The flag is just hanging down limply. There's no wind at all here. Almost a full moon across the way. And just perfect conditions. Temperature probably in the lower 60s, upper 50s. I'll have to check weatherchannel.com for that. There's an app for that. All right, we'll be back. And after our next break, we'll check in with Peabody football coach Mark Betancourt. And again, you're listening to MSONewsSports.com.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule, and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. There is clearly a difference, not only in selecting the right vehicle for your needs, but selecting the right dealership to buy it from. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Madruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trust, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street, a great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at BradfordTavern.com.
All right, we're back, and so is Peabody football coach Mark Betancourt. Coach, welcome back. Nice win on the weekend.
Thanks. Well, when did that program really need it?
Well, you know, it's high school, and you know, the carryover from one season to the next. I'm not sure you ever really know, Coach. You know, you've been coaching a long time, football and baseball in particular. And you know, is there always a reliability factor when you've got, for example, junior baseball players? And I don't know what got me off on this, but you know what you had coming back this year. And, you know, is it always a guarantee that the kids are going to make that step over the off season, you know, to get a little bit better the way you would expect them to?
Well, the only thing that's certain in high school sports is everything is uncertain. You have certain kids that you expect to, you know, mature and get better and establish leadership. And, you know, sometimes that happens and other times it doesn't. Coming into this particular football season, I mean, we knew. We graduated all five interior linemen, you know, and so we knew that we were going to suffer some growing pains coming into this season, having, you know, five offensive linemen playing in the first varsity game. we were going to make some mistakes. So going into the Wellesley game, you know, we were excited and enthusiastic about that because of the way the kids had practiced and the way we had played in our scrimmages. But in the back of my mind, I knew, you know, once you get into lights and, you know, it's a game atmosphere, everything changes. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't matter what sport it is. Any sport you play, when you put a kid out on the field, on the court, on the ice for his first game, there's going to be some butterflies, some jitters. And we definitely saw that in our first game against Wellesley. But, you know, coming out this past Friday night, you know, being at home, a little bit more comfortable, you know, no hour and 45-minute bus ride down to Wellesley. You know, I was hoping that that second time out, the kids would play a little bit more confidence. And, you know, seeing themselves on film and the mistakes that they made and the work we put in during the week, I was pleasantly surprised by the way they opened up some holes for our running backs on Friday night.
Coach, no one wants to use the travel time as an excuse, but, you know, an hour and 45 minutes down to Wellesley, Friday afternoon, you're stuck in traffic, 128, it's a horror show. You know, it does probably have an impact on the kids and the focus that they have, because they leave school, they're pumped, and then there's that draggy ride, and then you got to get back out, and you got to get back into that focus again. And that lack of focus right at the beginning of the game can hurt you the most, can it?
Absolutely. I mean, and that goes for, you know, any player. You know, I would never use it as an excuse for the reason why we lost. But, I mean, for those kids to play in their first varsity game and, you know, sit on that bus for as long as we did, and like you said, try to get them juiced up again, and, you know, now they go out there and something goes wrong, there's a sense of a panic mode that they go into, and that's natural. I mean, we kind of expect that as coaches, and we tried to. I mean, we didn't get destroyed. I mean, 20-8 isn't a disgrace of a game, but, you know, what we do, you know, the way we had trouble moving the ball was something that's kind of new to us. You know, we're an offense that can move the ball on the ground, and when that kind of didn't happen, you know, you could sense a little bit of panic in the young linemen, and you know, I think that experience did pay dividends this past Friday night, and will continue to pay dividends as these kids get more experience.
You know, certainly playing out of conference, and you chose two big schools to play. Certainly, I think Somerville not in the same class as Wellesley in the quality of the talent on the team, but certainly it's a challenge to your kids to go up and test themselves in that first game, and then to see where, like you said, where they needed to work, what they needed to improve on, and then come back against Somerville and put that on display as you get ready to go into league play.
And that's what we're trying to build on. What did make me feel better was that Wellesley put a pounding on Framingham, was a pretty good football program. So it's not like, you know, that first loss was to a dud. I mean, they've come out of the gate pretty strong. And what people didn't know about Wellesley, they started out 0-4, and you know, they finished winning 5 of their last 6 games. So I mean, they had a bad team, or, you know, we didn't know much about them. With a lot of respect to the Bay State League. You know, it's looking like, you know, maybe Wellesley isn't that bad of a team that we dropped the game to. And we're right back into the fire again. You know, drawing from the experience of Wellesley, you know, the bad times, and drawing from the experience of Somerville, some positive things. You know, running into a Beverly team who was just dismantled a couple of teams here in the early going. You know, we're right back into the frying pan, into the fire, going against a real tough, tough Beverly team.
Coach, third year coaching football, I believe, as head coach, and have you got the culture you want there now? What are you most pleased with your team this early on?
Well, the work ethic that the kids are putting in has started to become a standard. You know, when I first started, there were kids missing practice all the time, kids coming late to practice, kids not coming to practice prepared. You know, in my first year, we had to explain things 3 or 4 or 5 different times before things started to make sense. Now we're at the point where we're able to explain something once, and the majority of the kids, at least at the varsity level, are catching on. So you feel like you're making a lot more progress now. We have their attention. They've bought into the program. There is a sense of like urgency when we're talking about something. It's not blown off. It's addressed right then and there, and the kids are handling criticism the right way. They're not hanging their heads. They're looking in our eyes when we're coaching to them, and you feel like when you're talking that they're actually really listening.
And you know, again, the quicker we can get these young linemen into a mode where they feel confident, the faster we're going to get back on track to where we want to be.
Well, I want to ask you about Beverly in a minute and the game coming up this week. We're going to be broadcasting that game. But first, in high school, Coach, you know, you've done it for so long now. How do you balance within a practice, within a team, how do you balance competition among the kids and cooperation among the kids?
Well, I think that comes from the individual athletes. I mean, you have some kids that you know they're the second string defensive tackle or the second string tight end. And, you know, a lot of those kids are friends.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a fine line between being competitive and being a good teammate.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we challenge them in practice, similar to what we do in baseball. The way we practice our JV team with our varsity team in baseball, we do similar things in football. Like today, you know, we had our number one defense going against our number one offense, and we rotate the twos in to the practice so that the varsity coaches are getting a look at them, and they know that's their time.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to make an impact, it's going to come in practice because, you know, the ones are going to get the opportunity on Friday nights. The twos have to earn their way there.
Mm-hmm.
And the more competitive you can make practice, the harder you're going to see kids work and strive to take that job away from the number one. But when we're away from that, we're doing our individual work. You know, we're on the same team. We're trying to make each other better. And that, when you can balance the competitiveness of wanting to beat each other out with the balance of being, you know, teammates and working together to serve a common goal, you kind of found what you're looking for. I've seen that get better and better and better over the 3 years that I've been doing football now, that there's definitely a competitive edge, but it doesn't cross over that line where they're not good teammates to each other.
Well, that's obviously a credit to the coaching staff because that's not easy to do at any age, never mind with high school kids. Mark, what about Beverly? And first of all, where is the game? Because I see it in both places. Where's your game Friday night?
It'll be at PVD High School.
It is at PVD.
On Friday night.
All right, the papers got it wrong then. That's what I thought. All right, so what do you see in this Beverly team? You know, as you said, they've had two pretty big wins.
Well, anytime you look at a team, you look at what you have back for experience. I think in football, experience is probably the most important thing that a team can have because you don't have nerves. They've done it before. They've run the system in the past. When whenever you have a new coach, you know, Somerville had a new coach. Lynn English has a new coach. Swanson has a new coach. There's got to be a little bit, like when I took over 3 years ago, there's got to be a grace period where a coach has to get his system in. Beverly, I think, is one of the best coaching staffs in the North Shore. Those guys have been around forever with Roger Day running their offense, Coach Bauer running their defense. Those guys have been around the block. You're not going to trick them. You're not going to fool them. They're going to come in very well prepared. So, you know, as a young coaching staff, as me and my staff are, you know, we have to understand that, you know, we're up against some very good coaching. We have to make sure everything we do makes sense, so that we can make the proper adjustments to battle whatever these guys are doing. Whenever you have a team that has three running backs returning in a system like the wing T that they run, you know you're talking about three guys that know where to be. The timing of that offense is going to be very crisp. We have to really focus on doing the best we can to stop them from doing what they want to do. And that's no easy task when you're talking about a team that's returning three running backs.
Yeah,
Beverly has three running backs. I'm pretty sure. I think they got a pretty.
We're going to call you back on the other line, Coach.
Yeah, that, you know, you got Madden plowing up the middle from the fullback position. You got Miller, you know, who can get outside. You got Abatey, who can flat outside, and he's catching balls in the flat. That was a big part of their game against Lynn Classical, and I know they did it against Gloucester the other night. And it's just, you know, in the two games, they've just gotten on both teams real early and started to put the pressure on them and made them play from behind. And, you know, Gloucester was an experienced team. They had a big win against Classical the week before, but they just didn't respond. And Classical is kind of transitioning. They've got some good athletes. But, boy, I mean, Beverly just was just so more polished and just so much more confident in the way that they played it, and you know, the defensive pressure that they brought was just incredible. They're giving them 6 points in two games to two good teams.
And that, you know, if you look at the numbers, you know, what they're doing is dominating teams. And that, and, you know, as a team coming up to play them, you have to understand that. So, you know, we have to control what we can control. We get the ball on offense. You know, we want to do what we do. We want to try to control the clock. The best defense sometimes is a good offense. The more our offense is on the field, their offense isn't. And that's kind of, you know, when you're game planning, you know, you try to figure out the best way to keep their offense off the field. And for us, we're going to try to do what we normally do. We're going to try to, you know, move the ball on the ground, keep the clock running, and shorten the game. Because as you saw against Boston, they're very explosive. I saw an 80-yard run, a 60-yard run, a 40-yard completion. They make some big plays, and they can score quickly. Same thing, you know, the week after that, we got Marblehead. Same thing over there. They're very explosive. Last year's team was very explosive and could score very, very quickly. For us, we're going to slow the game down, shorten the game, try to control the clock as best we can when we have the ball, and defensively, you know, try to make them do stop what they want to do, make them do what they don't want to do.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Don't miss a rare opportunity to see Keith Lockhart up front and personal at the Lynn Auditorium. He'll be playing with five hand-selected pop musicians October 1st. This is a great chance to see Keith in an intimate setting where he'll sing, play, conduct, and talk about his life. Then enjoy a 30th anniversary screening of John Hughes' classic, The Breakfast Club, followed by a discussion and Q&A with 80s superstar icon and novelist Molly Ringwald. In addition, just 20 tickets left to the Super VIP After Party with Molly. For tickets, visit LynnAuditorium.com or call 781-599-SHOW.
Since 1897, the Lynn Museum has celebrated the history of one of America's most consequential cities. Recently merged with Lynn Arts, we are working to build a dynamic cultural hub where our past comes to life and new art is created. Join us for the final month of our baseball exhibit, America's Favorite Pastime, A Lynn Perspective, open until Saturday, October 3rd. The Lynn Museum is located at 590 Washington Street and open Wednesday and Friday 12 to 4, Thursday 12 to 7, and Saturday 10 to 3. Find us online at lynnmuseum.com.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn. Team up with The Daily Item at itemlive.com, your community information connection. The Daily Item features colorful, timely stories highlighting the North Shore. The new look page focuses on people, places, and things. The Item is presenting news in a user-friendly format. Don't miss any local news or reading features on your neighbors. Check out The Item today. It's all new every day. For home delivery, call 781-593-7700 or go to itemlive.com.
The pregame show is brought to you in part by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire.
Okay, we're back, and we are live. I'm Rick Moore, along with Marty Smith, our producer and engineer, Bill Kropaski. We have high school football tonight, as all the captains are out there in the middle of the field. We may have to adjust that crowd mic, Marty, in a minute. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Let's see how far it goes, though. Let's see if it works. And we have a bunch of kids right in front of us, right under the mic. We'll see how it goes. But we are ready for some football, and this is going to be a good one tonight. Jam-packed, as we expected. Terrific crowd on a beautiful early fall evening.
We're going to have a battle of the bands tonight, I believe, because I think that was the Beverly Band filing in. This has a very Friday Night Lights feel to it here. The field is beautiful. The Tanners have painted the giant, almost, you commented, almost Texas Longhorn in the middle of the field, stretching from the 35 to the 35 in either end. And now we've got the meeting of the captains at midfield. We're going to have the opening kickoff coming up, but just you can feel the electricity in the air of the opening game of the Northeastern Conference.
Well, the Texas Longhorn is orange, and this looks like Babe the Blue Ox, but well, it stretches, the horn stretch from the 35-yard line to the 35-yard line in the middle of the field. So why don't we pull that in? I don't think
okay. We can do that.
It's going to be a little distracting, I think. That's a little better, I think. Here we go. It's okay to hear the crowd, but just to hear a few. Now, let's see. All right, the captains are at the center of the field still. As you know, one thing that looks good, Marty, is to see the numbers back again. Peabody has huge numbers on the near sideline, as does Beverly on the far sideline. And it's great to see so many participants. Beverly and Peabody both getting a lot of JV action, kids into the game already this season in the first two games. So Peabody will, I believe.
Okay, so I put you back
okay,
in.
Okay, thank you. And just about ready to go. Beverly has their white jerseys, their away jerseys with the orange numerals, black pants, white helmets, and Peabody in their royal blue jerseys, white pants, white helmets, again with the Texas Longhorn or the Peabody Tanner steer on the side. How long has it been since they've had tanning here in the city?
Probably not as long as you think, Troy, but it's been a while.
And why was Danvers called the Onion Towners?
Because there is an onion. It's called a Danvers onion.
Okay.
And there's a Danvers carrot, too, I believe, that
okay.
were grown here.
Well, I personally am very thankful for Russ Fravel renaming the Onion Towners football team to the Falcons. I appreciate what Russ did. So, just my opinion. All right, we're still getting ready to go here as Peabody will deploy down to our left. And let's see if they're going to put Doug Santos back in the middle. I mean, that's sort of what I would do, but we'll find out. Yeah, he's deploying down to the right, actually. They're going to put Ogana Okinawa in the middle, and it looks like John Villani will be off to the left side. But Santos is going back deep, and I'll tell you what, Madden can kick it that far, too. Madden put it back to the goal line a couple of times last week against Gloucester. Bright moon, clear sky, 58 degrees at kickoff. Wind not a factor this evening. At 5 miles an hour out of the east-northeast.
Darn, you're good. That wet finger works every time.
I'll tell you. What is it, windage? Adjust for windage? All right, Madden will put his foot into it at the 40-yard line. He's a left-footed kicker. And here we go, approaching the ball. Big left-handed kick is going to go all the way down to the 5-yard line. Bottle out of bounds or almost out of bounds. It is out of bounds. Oh, man. As Okinawa had a tough time fielding that spinning ball, and he went out of bounds at the 9-yard line. So Peabody takes over first and 10 from their own 9-yard line to start this game. And that's what Beverly did last week. They hemmed Gloucester in all week, all game long, I should say, back in their own zone.
Ball resting just shy of the 9 on the far hash mark. A full slate of games tonight. On our other channel, you'll hear Revere and Lynn Classical. English is at Winthrop and Saugus is at Salem. Danvers at Marblehead. Masco and Newburyport. St. Mary's at Essex Tech.
Matt D'Amato is the quarterback. Santos about 6 yards behind the line of scrimmage, set up behind Eric DeMeo. Santos gets the pitch, and it's a halfback option pass, overthrown at the 29-yard line with, let's see, Noah Friedman, the intended receiver, I believe. Is that 22? Or was it 26? Might have been Okinawa.
Yeah, it was.
Okinawa, yep. So, anyway, it was incomplete. Halfback option pass, or tailback option, I should say. Incomplete, second and 10. Santos throwing the ball. It was not exactly a tight spiral. David Pence is the center. Chris Goggin, Marcus Gutierrez are the guards. Dan Smith, Dan Hurdia are the tackles for Coach Mark Betancourt. Now this is give to second back, goes around the end out to nearly the 20-yard line. And that is Okinawa, close to the first down.
Yeah, his knee went down, but they're spotting the ball. It's going to be just shy. It'll be a third and about a short one.
Right out to the 19. Very short one, as that's almost a 10-yard gain. So, Huggy Okinawa, a wing back, As we said, DeMato the quarterback, Eric DeMeo the fullback, Doug Santos is the tailback in the I formation set up behind D'Amico, junior, 6'1", 155. Here's a pitch to Santos following the block of DeMeo. He's going to get the first down and more outside. Whoa, I spoke too soon. He gets the first down, but I thought he was going to get a lot more than that. He was ridden out of bounds at the 27. So that's Santos' first carry of the night.
That's Kevin Flaherty that forced him out of bounds. Christian Echeverria got him on the low side, and Flaherty finished off the hit.
And Flaherty was a tremendous force on defense last week, too. Ball at the 28-yard line of the Tanners. So that's a 9-yard gain, first run for Santos, who was at over 2,000 yards in his career, over 30 touchdowns. All right, now they've got a pro set, double wing off to the left. Oh, I'm sorry, it's a shotgun. And Santos was gutting the direct snap. I guess you'd call that a wildcat.
Yeah.
But it's a procedure call against Peabody.
They weren't sure either. 9:37 to play, opening quarter. No score here. Coley Lee Field in Peabody.
Beverly up front has Chris Faust in the middle. Jake Berry, Ryan Garrity are the tackles. Linebackers Matt Cannavale, Nick Shears, Hugh Calise, and Christian Miller. All right, now D'Amato goes back under center. He's going to go back to pass, fires it out to the left flat, and it is way overthrown to intended receiver Jake Daugherty at about 25. That would have been well short of the first down. It was covered. So now it'll be second down and 15.
That's Peter Malumba that was stride for stride from with him as he tried to move over to his left side.
Peabody 0 for 2 in this drive passing the ball. That's a little weird coming out of Peabody throwing the ball, at least in my experience. Ball is at the 23 on the near hash mark. Peabody moving from left to right, heading toward the scoreboard and away from the hamburgers. Now it's a shotgun. A pistol, actually.
Now I smell him.
With Okinawa in motion. This is a lateral back to Santos behind the line of scrimmage. And I think it's Santos, and he's going to get to the 24, fumble, and Peabody loses
Beverly's
it.
Beverly recovered
it. I'm not sure who the ball carrier was. That was a lateral. It was an over-the-hand pass, but it was behind the quarterback, and it was not a forward pass. It was a lateral, but it ended up as a fumble, and Beverly recovering. This is what they did last week. Panthers opportunistic. They are now at the Peabody 24-yard line.
I saw Jordan Rodding come off the bottom of that pile.
9:07 left to go. First quarter, no score. And Beverly with a golden opportunity at the 24 of Peabody as a result of the turnover.
So that possession went 15 yards.
Total yards 15 so far. And that's what Beverly did last week. All right, the quarterback is Kevin Morency with the split backfield behind him. Now they're going to shift and overload to the right. Strong right with a wing off to the left. Hand off on a run play going to the left. It is Madden pulling his way forward down to the 20-yard line, busting tackles and picking up about 5.
What a misdirection there is. The entire line moved off to the left side and brought most of the Peabody Tanners with him. Matt and Madden cut back off to the right. They'll go with no huddle.
Second and 6. Madden again on a sweep to the left. Can't get it outside. Just off tackle and check it. It's Peter Malumba, senior, 5'11", 190. He gets about a yard and a half, maybe 2. Third down coming up. Ball is at the 24, right back to the line of scrimmage. I'm sorry, it's at the 19, excuse me. Here's Madden, right side, and he's fighting for yardage, still moving the pile to about the 15-yard line.
He got close, but when they sort it out, I think he's going to be short, and it'll be third down, and once again, a long one, it's a gain of 4.
Yeah, it's at the 15. So it's fourth down and about 1, right to back to the line of scrimmage. Full house backfield. Look at that. Straight T formation. Left halfback, Madden. He gets the first down and holds his way down to about the 10.
5-yard pickup for Madden. That's his third carry, and he's got 12 yards of this Beverly possession. First down for the Panthers, and they're going traditionally and typically with no huddle, just right up to the line of scrimmage.
Something new every week. Last week, they're in the shotgun. This week, the straight T formation. Now they've got a wing to the left, tight end. I'm sorry, wing to the right, tight end to the left, as Tom Adams is the tight end on the left side.
The nose of the ball is just inside the 10. It's first and goal.
First and goal. They can't get a first down. They've got to get the touchdown. Again, Madden, left halfback, going off of right tackle. Squirms his way and pirouettes at about the 7. Way far away from us right now, so it's hard to tell. Let me see where they put the marker. Put it at the 8.
They're biting. The
no,
Tanners
at the 9. Well, he's doing it. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Marty.
Go ahead. The Tanners are out of the huddle. They're out of the huddle and under center, so we'll catch up with it.
All right. 2-yard gain for Madden. As it's Malumba coming around the left end. This time he is tackled for no loss. Couldn't get anywhere. As nice defense by Francisco Mendoza that time. A linebacker making the tackle. No gain.
Ball still at the 8. It's 3rd and goal now from the 8. And what we were saying is that on Madden, the defense seems to be biting a little bit when the line shifts off to their right and gives him room to move off of his right.
Okay, they're going to split Adams way out to the left side this time. Alumba is split to the right. Shotgun formation for Morenci. He's going to roll to his right, looks to his right, throws it off the hands of Madden, and incomplete, 4th down. So again, we've seen everything in 2 weeks for the Beverly Panthers. Last week, shotgun. This week, a straight T formation, and now somebody takes a timeout.
Beverly's taking time, I believe.
Okay. Well, looks like they had their first several plays scripted, and now they're going to regroup, rethink, as they're facing a 4th down and long. 4th and actually almost 9. 4th and 9 to get into the end zone.
Yeah, this was a fumble recovery by Beverly at the 28-yard line, and they've moved the ball down to the 8-yard line, 20. Well, they recovered at the 24, so they've gone 16 yards in 7 plays, but the last two, the incomplete pass and then the Malumba being stopped, have put them in this position with 6:46 to play here in a scoreless first quarter.
They had a 14 or 15-yard play last week against Gloucester that covered 36 yards for the touchdown. They kept getting penalties and then redoing it, getting it back, but they made it. So, no score, as Marty mentioned, but Beverly trying to take advantage of the turnover as the clock is supposed to be moving, it's they're indicating. I don't know what the bozo that was. Well, anyway, here we go. Randy Ramos, Dan Theodore, Cam Powers up front for the Tanners. They're going to do the field goal attempt, and boy, Madden's got the leg. Morenci will be the holder. So this will be from the 15, make it a 25-yard attempt. And waiting for things to set up. Everybody's at the line of scrimmage, ready to go. Morenci calls the signal, puts it down, and Madden puts it through. No, he went wide to the left. I'm sorry. Plenty of leg, but it went left. Oh, my. Well, no score in this one.
6:41 to play here in the first quarter. And high school football on MSO News Sports is brought to you by Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill in the Sylvan Street Grill, and by Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go where you can enjoy the local flavor, at Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plastow, New Hampshire.
Ball is back out at the 20 after the missed field goal attempt from the 25. So the Tanners take over now once again. And Santos is the tailback, gets the handoff, finds hole up the middle, and rockets through the middle out to the 27-yard line.
Matt Carnevale is the only person between him and galloping down the field, and Carnevale got him right around the waist and pulled him down.
Well, let me see here. 2 carries, 10 yards for Santos to start this thing. Second down and short. Second and about 3, maybe 2. At the almost the 28-yard line. D'Amato, hand off to Santos again. He stutter steps in the backfield, weaves his way through an opening, cuts it outside, takes tacklers with him out to the 40-yard line.
Kevin Flaherty again gets him, but not before the first down. Nice pickup from the 28 up to the 41, a gain of 13. So it's first and 10. Second first down. Second first down of the football game for the Tanners.
On the far hash mark, center is David Pence leading D'Amato out. Here's a pitch to Santos rolling to his right. Beverly in the backfield. Santos reverses direction, cuts it back to his left. Does a good job to get positive yardage because the whole right side of the PBD line collapsed on that one. Beverly was in on it.
Tremendous block by Dan Heredia for the PBD Tanners, blocking out the Beverly defense as they came in and allowed this to pick up a gain of a long yard. It would have been a loss of probably 6 or 7 had it not been for that block.
Second down and 8. Well, maybe 9.
on the near hash mark. Up front, we've mentioned Jake Berry, Chris Faust, Ryan Garrity, the defensive front three for Beverly. And we have a timeout. We'll take
flag on the play.
Or a flag.
Yeah. Delay a game on Peabody, as it took them a while to go into the huddle.
Saw that
that's
last
the
week
indication here.
Too, and that's, you don't see that very much in high school games. It is
following Major League Baseball rules, I guess, or AAA rules.
Wave it off.
So pull it up.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. A little confusion there. So back to the line of scrimmage comes the Tanners. Second and a long eight. I formation, a power I formation, as it's a handoff to the second back. Nothing. Who's the number? Who carried that?
I think that was 11. Jake Daugherty, it was.
Okay.
Christian Miller with the tackle for the Panthers.
Loss of one. So the Beverly defense doing it again tonight. Offense could not capitalize on the turnover. And now it's third down and almost 10 to go for Peabody. Sparkling night tonight. Tremendous crowd on hand again. Well attended by both Peabody and Beverly fans and parents and friends. Nice to see Phil Sheridan, the athletic director, up here before the game. Great guy. Hall of Famer here at Peabody.
Get a chance to chat with him at halftime.
Yeah, hopefully. Phil Stacy's up here, too, somewhere. Salem Evening News editor.
Full house in the box.
High formation. Santos, tailback. A little bit of a hole. He's dragged down from behind, but he picks up a few yards across the 45 to the 46. Five-yard gain, not enough.
Ryan Garrity has him from down low. Assist from Nick Shares.
Fifth carry for Doug Santos already, 30 yards, but it's not enough. As we mentioned, it'll be fourth down and six for the Peabody Tanners, and now they'll be forced to give it up.
3:39 clock running here in the first quarter in a scoreless football game.
This is a big one. Peabody, Beverly, both in the large, Northeastern Conference large. So I don't see the number of the punter, but as soon as I do, he'll get it away from the 40. And he's run into after the punt. Fair catch, caught by Miller at the 32-yard line, and no call. Wow, that's weird. The punter was Reynar Alvarez, it looked like.
Yep.
And he was clobbered.
Yes, he was.
Weird. All right, another 26 yards, so a total of 41 so far for the hometown team.
The 30.
And now, Peabody, Beverly takes over from, let's see, their own 30.
I'd say right on 30. The 30.
Yep.
A 24-yard punt for Alvarez, who got to look up and see an almost full moon and a cloudless night here.
3:11 left to go, first quarter, no score. Now it's an I formation behind Morency. Hands it off to the wing around, following blockers across the 35 to the 38-yard line. And that was Sam Abatey with the carry. So Abatey picks up about 8 or 9.
Jake Daugherty on the tackle for the Tanners, and we'll give him 8 on it.
Second down and 2, 3. Just short of the 39. Panthers keeping the ball on the ground. They had one pass attempt. Peabody has had two or three pass attempts. And they're going to put Rodding on the right side. Madden gets the handoff and the first down as he went just from left halfback over off of right tackle and gets it across the 40 to about the 42.
And a 4.
Matt Madden with a big game last week. Ball is at the 38 rather. No, it's at the 43. 42. Here we go. Long run for Madden across midfield on the sweep to the right down to the 40-yard line.
Great blocking downfield for him right about the 48-yard line for the Panthers.
So they're all down to the Peabody 40. 17-yard gain for Madden. Right back to the line of scrimmage. Wing to the right. Peabody jumps, Beverly goes. It's Miller with the end around this time. He gets yardage as he cuts the corner and brings it down to the Peabody 32.
A 8-yard pickup officially for him down to the 32, and Beverly chewing up yards. A minute and 50 seconds to play here in a fast-moving first quarter, scoreless.
Right back to the line of scrimmage. This is not easy for me to keep stats this way.
I'm trying.
All right, right half back to the left side, and it's Madden who's going to be gang-tackled after positive yardage to the 27.
I think that's Peter Malumba coming up off the bottom with the ball.
I think you're right.
And the game will be 5 for him. And the second first down of this drive, and immediately right back to the line of scrimmage.
Here's a pitch to Miller this time, sweeping to the right, cuts it outside and gets a block down to the 25, across to the 23. Not enough for the first down, but positive yardage. Where do they put it? At the 23.
So it's a gain of 5.
So we got a second down and a timeout. We need to take a break. So we'll do that. This game coming to you from Peabody High School. There's no score here in the first quarter. We'll be right back.
Paul McGeary. I'm voting for Paul McGeary for mayor because he does his homework and he gets things done.
He's been my city councilor and is always helpful.
He fights for our schools.
Paul helps us support sobriety and combat substance abuse.
He listens.
He'll bring good jobs to Gloucester.
I trust Paul.
I'm Paul McGeary. I'm asking for your vote for mayor on Tuesday, September 29th, and I approve this message.
Okay, we're back, and who took that timeout? Was it Peabody?
Yes, they needed a breath. I think we all did.
All right,
a minute and 15 seconds to play here in the first quarter. Beverly has the football at the Peabody 22-yard line, where it is second down and about 5 yards. I don't think I've seen Beverly go into the huddle yet.
They have a couple of times, okay. But that's been it. And again, Coach Roger Day has done something as the offensive coordinator. Second down and 5. Here's a pitch on the sweep to the left again, and Madden having a tough time getting back to the line of scrimmage, gains about a yard. Not much there that time. I said it was Miller, 15,
that's
not 5.
Miller, yep.
Okay. What do I know? It's at the 22, so it's a one-yard gain. Now it's third down. And again, Beverly deep in Peabody real estate for the second time, not able to capitalize on the first time. Ryan Garrity is split wide to the right side, ball in the near hash mark. Panthers moving from right to left. And they jump, so we'll bring this one back. No score. 40 seconds left to go, first quarter. As Marty mentioned, a fast-moving first quarter.
We see Beverly again next Friday night at Lynn English at Manning Field.
And
it's one of our three games next Friday
I'll
night.
I'll be back here. What do we have next week? What do
we
I have?
Marblehead. You'll be
Marblehead
here with Marblehead, and
yep.
We'll have Gloucester and Revere on video.
Yep. All right, so Garrity again will split wide to the right. Now we've got a third down and 9 with 22 seconds left to go. It is Madden in motion. He slips, tries to cut it back upfield, put his knee down when he slips. So it's going to be way back at the 28-yard line.
An unfortunate loss there for Madden. It'll drop the ball back to the 29-yard line. It was a loss of 7, 4th and 10. And the last time the Panthers tried a field goal from setting up at the 8, and that's the end of the first quarter.
It is, and we'll be right back. No score after 1. Beverly and Peabody. Stay tuned for the second quarter. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com.
All right, we're back. It's Fourth down once again for Beverly. They're going for it at the Peabody 29-yard line. Man in motion. Back to pass. Morency looks out to the left side. Man open. Caught. Complete. At the 11-yard line and out of bounds is Madden. Perfect pass. Nice catch. And it's first down and 10 from the 11.
18-yard pickup on the pass.
Huge fourth down play. They're going to put it at the 13. So 16-yard gain, first and 10. Clock moving? No, it isn't. It stopped on the out-of-bounds play. Ball on the far hash mark with Beverly moving from left to right. One running back in the backfield, gets the handoff, off tackle, straight up the field, and down to about the 8. I don't know who carried it. Right back, Schwenard. Right back to the line of scrimmage after about a 4-yard gain.
It was Sam Abadi, I believe.
Here's Madden, and he's tripped up at the 5. As it's back to the line of scrimmage. Where do they put the ball there, Guy?
At
the 6.
Yep.
Right back to the line of scrimmage. Third down and 4, I believe it is, to go. Miller this time tries to go outside, and he's very close to the first down marker. 13th play of the drive coming up for Beverly.
It's going to be just shy of the 3. And I think we may have a measurement coming up here.
Wow, very, very close, yeah. And someone else takes a timeout. I don't know who took this one. Peabody again? So it is at the 3, and it's fourth down again and less than a yard to go. And it is Beverly taking the timeout. So everybody using timeouts in this first half early on. Beverly has used a pair, as has Peabody. Fourth down and 1 to go.
Trying to check in for the outlying precincts. Catch
okay.
up on our other scores, but I'm, as usual, technologically impaired. More GMC of Danvers serving the North Shore. Since 1969 at 84 High Street in Danvers presents high school football on a Friday night from MSONewsSports.com. Harrington Trophy rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. 557 Chestnut Street in Lynn and returnee Robert J. Madruga. See Bob for all your estate planning and tax preparation.
We still are a division of More Stuff Online. It seems weird after telling ourselves More Stuff Online for so long. Okay, fourth down. Man in motion is Abadi. He gets it outside and goes in for the touchdown. Beverly strikes first. 6-0. Abadi from 3 yards out. Sweep to the left. And let's see, that's 13 plays and 70 yards for Beverly.
3:11, 3 minutes and 14 seconds.
All right. They will line up for the single point, of course, as, again, Madden can hit it. He missed the 25-yard field goal attempt. And for the extra point, the ball gets down at about the 11. This one is true this time. Funny leg right through the middle. And now it's 7-0 as Madden puts the capper on it. And with 9:57 left to go in the first half, it is 7-0 Beverly. So Abadi finishes off the 13-play, 70-yard drive, and they mixed it up. They threw a pass on fourth down for a completion. They ran on a fourth down for a first down. Stayed on the ground primarily, but mixing it up with Abadi, Madden, Miller, and Malumba all getting carries on that drive.
Probably the big one was Matt Madden's reception.
Oh, yeah.
Which went for 16 10. Yards and got them out of deep sneakers in the first drive, the first play of this, the second quarter. So we saw Madden with the ball 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times in that drive.
Okinawa and Santos are back deep for the Peabody Tanners, back down to our right by the scoreboard. The great facility here in Peabody, a brand new field, second year for the field. All the practice fields and soccer fields up behind us, behind the press box. Very impressive. And again, terrific, terrific tradition here at Peabody High School as well. So Madden will kick it off after Beverly has struck first in this one. Left-footed kicker, long, high, end-over-end kick. Sends Santos all the way back to his 1 yard line. Reverses field, blocks up the middle to the 10, 20, 30. 40, outside, 50, and sandwiched between two players at the 45-yard line. And I don't know who got the worst of it, whether it was Jordan Routing making the tackle or Doug Santos, but a terrific return for Santos.
He started at the one. He brought it all the way up over midfield and down to the 46, a 45-yard return for Santos.
They are at the Beverly 44-yard line.
Make that a 55-yard return.
So the nicest field position for Beverly, for Peabody to start this game off. They are right out of the huddle very quickly. High formation with a wing off to the right. And D'Amato, the quarterback, and off to Santos, who you would think would need a breather. He fights for yardage and spins forward for a couple to the 42. So Santos gets it. No, they put it at the 43. Only a yard gain. And for Santos, a 6 carry, 31 yards to go with, what did you say, 55 yards? 55-yard return. Clock moving, 9:20 left to go in the first half. Beverly, 7. Peabody, 0. Sam Abatey, the touchdown for the Beverly Panthers. He's a junior, 5'8". Ball on the far hash mark. Peabody moving from right to left. I formation, Santos blasted up the middle and goes all the way down to the 37 very quickly. Third down coming up.
That hole's opened up for him by Chris Goggin for the Peabody Tanners right through the middle of the line.
Well, they just put it over the 39, so it's only a 4-yard gain. 7 carries, 35 yards now for Santos, chipping away at it. D'Amato gets the play from the sidelines and has to run back into the huddle. Third down and 5 for Peabody at the Beverly 39, just over the 39-yard line. Split backfield, pro set, wing off to the right for the Peabody Tanners. It's going to be a double handoff. Second back gets it, gets the first down, and almost breaks it. That's Okinawa taking it all the way down to the 29. 10-yard gain, first down for Peabody.
This drive started at the 44. They've picked up 15 yards here with 8 minutes and 9 seconds left in the first half and a 7-0 Beverly lead, the third possession of the football game for the Tanners.
Ugi Okinawa with the carry on that double handoff. He got the second handoff. Santos going to his right, giving it to Okinawa, coming back to his left. First and 10 at the 29-yard line for Peabody. Again, pro set with a wing off to the left. Here comes a blitz. Rolling to his right is the quarterback. D'Amato gets away from a rush and throws it, I think it's
40,
caught.
84.
Out of bounds at the 21-yard line, but it is a good reception. I thought it was incomplete, but Brandon Muse makes a really good catch, and it's short of the first down, but it's out just short of the 21-yard line of Beverly.
So it's an 8-yard pickup past completion, and that is definitely making chicken salad out of chicken feathers because they got away from the blitz. And was able to get that ball off, and as you saw, I didn't think it was going to stay in bounds.
D'Amato did a good job. Santos upended very close to the first down, right up the middle, and stopped rather abruptly. Shoo, boy. Ain't getting closer. That's right at the 19. Wow.
Sean Perry gets him right down low and pulls him down, and it is short by a couple of feet.
Third down. I'm going to call it a yard. Doesn't look that far. Great crowd, great numbers on both sidelines. The Peabody blue prevalent here at Coley Lee Field. Handoff, run play. This may go for a touchdown. It does. Santos breaks it loose and into the end zone. On a sweep to the left, hurtling a tackler, and it's now a one-point game.
So let's see. It's a 99-yard drive. Santos has the 55-yard return. He has a carry for 2, a carry for 3, a carry for 1, and the 20-yard touchdown scamper. So it's 55, 75, 80, 81 yards of the 99, and it is 7-6 now as Peabody has closed the gap.
Ninth carry for Santos already in this first half, 56 yards and the touchdown from 19 yards out. And that was a 6-play, 44-yard drive. 6:54 left to go first half. And D'Amato will attempt the point after. He's a right-footed kicker. Approaches the ball and sends it through. I thought it hooked left, but it went through. And it's tied, 7-7.
So we're tied at 7 here with 6 minutes and 54 seconds to play in the first half. And we'll be back. You're listening to MSONewsSports.com.
Gloucester back together. I want to be elected. In order for me to be elected, I need your vote on September 29th. For me to be on the ballot November 3rd, please don't assume. Go vote September 29th. Since I took over position in January, we have accomplished more than I ever thought we could do. We conquered the winter. We balanced the budget. We brought Gloucester across the bridge to the State House. We ensured heritage and culture and preserved it. We made Gloucester alive this summer. I was born here, lived here all my life. I'm Gloucester, and I want to move Gloucester forward together. So please, vote September 29th and vote Safathia.
Ryan Scolio will kick off for Peabody. He puts it short kick that's going to bounce at the Panther 26, picked up on the far sideline, cuts it back to the middle, 40, 50, and this could be a touchdown all the way. That's got to be Madden. Look out,
Miller.
10, and it's Miller. He's caught from behind, but I think he's in. Touchdown. Oh, my.
70 yards.
Wow. So Christian Miller with the return puts Beverly right back on top. Wow.
No flags on the play. Chris Miller goes 70 yards on that kickoff return, and that play took 4 seconds.
I was trying to figure out who got the ball, and he's gone by that time. Oh, my. So now it's 13-7. Beverly regaining the lead. Had a feeling you were going to like this one. Madden lines this one up now and will attempt the point after once again. It's a good hold, and this one is kicked a mile high and a mile long and right through the uprights. 14-7.
Check that. It took 13 seconds, I'm sorry, for that Beverly possession. With 6 minutes and 41 seconds to play here in the first half, it is now 14-7 with Beverly on top. As Beverly scored early in the second quarter, Peabody has came back to tie it, and on the ensuing kickoff, the Panthers have gone 70 yards following a 99-yard drive by the Tanners to go back up on top by a score of 14-7.
Interestingly enough, from scrimmage, 1 yard separates the two teams, 86 yards from scrimmage for Beverly, 85 yards for Peabody, and one score separates them. That tremendous return. Boy, I'll tell you what, I think somebody didn't stay home on that far sideline. Kickoffs, special teams.
He got a block right around midfield, and then somebody had him right around the waist,
mm-hmm.
and it was almost like the old days of tearaway jerseys because he just got right away from it.
Beverly special teams have been immense so far this season. All right, 14-7, Beverly back out on top, and beautiful night for a football game, probably in the mid-50s now, and clear night, no wind, and a great crowd. And two tough teams meeting each other early on for a big one. All right, line drive kick. Santos feels it. He jumps up for it at the 5. Going to go up the sideline to the 15-20 and out to about the 25-yard line, maybe just across the 25.
So a 20-yard return. So he fielded it at the 5, and he's got it up to the 25. So it's not quite the 55 yards, but the field position isn't all that horrible.
Well, all-purpose.
For the Peabody Panther.
All-purpose yards. He's got a couple hundred already, didn't he?
Wow.
Jeez. Have to factor that in. Well, I'll tell you, from scrimmage, where did he put him? From scrimmage, he's got 9 carries, 56 yards. And add the 55 yards to that, and you got over 100. And then another 20. So, yeah. About 120 all-purpose yards for Santos already as the Tanners start from their own 28. 6:34 left to go first half. So here's the Wildcat as it's a direct snap to Santos. He gets outside immediately off of left tackle and crosses the 35, drags the tackler down with him out to the 40. So he's not only fast, but he's also pretty strong.
Yeah, at one point, I didn't see him in the dark blue jersey. All I saw was the white jerseys around him. Peter Malumba finally gets him down after the first down yardage. Is the ball is just shy of the 40, so we'll give him 12.
First and 10. Peabody, 6:12 left to go. First half. Beverly up by one touchdown. I stacked up behind D'Amato. Hand off, second back. Nothing this time. Is that Santos again?
Yes.
Wow. Stop in his tracks.
Three guys for the Panthers.
In fact, they put it back 1 yard. Second down, 11. Back to the 39.
And maybe that's what it's going to take. It's going to take people like Chris Faust to just get there and stand in front of them.
Defensive backfield for Beverly.
And he gets some help from Ryan Garrity. Now, there's two. They are two very tall and large gentlemen.
Wing to the right, slot to the right, pitch to the right. Santos following the block of DeMaio, and Santos is punished after he gets about four.
And this time it's Ryan Garrity again.
It's at the 44, so it's a 5 yard gain.
Garrity is 6 foot and weighs about 185 pounds, and Santos is probably a head shorter, but probably 10% wider.
He's listed at 5'8", 190. He can fly and he's strong. Once again, the I formation. This time they flip-flop and put the slot to the left side. So it's a sweep to the left. And Santos struggles to get across the line of scrimmage. He does to the 46, maybe the 47. So it's fourth down now for Peabody. And they've got about four to go for the first down. 12th carry, 75 yards for Santos from scrimmage. And what do they do?
One thing to keep your eye on, Rick, a little bit too, is when they're doing that pitch back to Santos after he's taken that drop, every now and again they get a little high, and Santos has got to get up, grab the ball in, get control over it, get into position, and he's still able to do that while moving forward and looking downfield.
He always has his shoulders square to the line of scrimmage. He's always squared up to the line of scrimmage and uses his power, gets down low, keeps the legs going. Very impressive first half so far for Santos. Peabody facing a big fourth down has taken another timeout. The Tanners have taken three. Beverly has taken two. Each side, of course, gets five per half. And high school coaches like to use them.
Don't do you any good in the locker room. Four minutes, 18 seconds to play first half. 14-7, Beverly on top, and this presentation of MSONewsSports.com is brought to you by Gloria Food Store, consistently Beverly's number one deli, the Lynn Museum, 590 Washington Street in Lynn, combining with Lynn Arts Building, a vibrant cultural center in downtown Lynn, and Columbia Insurance of Lynn, offering home, auto, condo, renters, and business insurance for complete peace of mind.
High school football on the Internet, a uniquely American tradition.
Yes.
That's our new motto, a uniquely American tradition. We're going to have a float in the 4th of July parades next year, I've decided.
Okay.
We are. We're going to have it. We're going to have highlights from the games. And
I'll be in the Horribles parade. You can be in the Gloucester one.
Well, it is a Horribles parade.
Yeah, I'll take the Beverly one then.
Okay. Well, now here we go. Fourth down, Peabody is going for the first down on fourth down on their side of the field at their own 47-yard line. It's going to be the Wildcat. Santos, double handoff. Okinawa loses the ball. Wouldn't make any difference. He was down anyway at the 41-yard line. A loss. Beverly takes over.
Loss of six on the double handoff when it went back over to Okinawa, and he was moving in one direction. The ball was kind of going in the other direction. He got it, and his feet went out from underneath him. He came back up with the football, but as Rick said, it really didn't matter. It was fourth down, and the ball they needed to get up to about the 48, there was a loss here. And Beverly takes over on downs at the 41-yard line of the Peabody Tanners with 4 minutes and 13 seconds to play in the half.
And again, that's what Beverly does. They take advantage of field position. Not a big field, not a long field again after the defense held. 14-7 is our score.
Oops,
Beverly.
I'm slacking, sorry.
To the line of scrimmage. And Morency still looking to the sideline. Now he'll go into center. Panthers will shift into the split backfield with Malumba going into the slot to the left. Receiver rotting way out to the left. It is a pitch to Schwinard trying to cut it outside. Breaks a tackle at the 40. Goes up downfield to the 35. Out of bounds at the 30.
Well, he did not hesitate, Schwinnard, to put his head down and plow into that defense, running right into Frank Falco and Noah Freeman, right there, Falco anyways, on that far sideline to get a couple of extra yards.
At the 39? No, where is it? 34, I'm sorry, 7-yard gain, second down. This is a run play, carrying the pile forward for the first down. Inside the 25 to the 24 is... Who's the last man up? I can't see him. It's Malumba.
Malumba, yep.
Right back to the line of scrimmage. It's at the 24 after the 10-yard gain, first down. Here's another run play, and this one's going to be stopped short. It's going to be stopped at the 20.
Gain is 4.
No idea who carried
it. Deceptive little gains.
Who is that?
It's
Madden.
Miller. Madden.
Yep, number 5. And the ball is where? At the 18? I can't write and look at the same time. Okay, so now it's 2nd and 6. Again, handoff. This time, Malumba's wrapped up for no gain. Stop right at the 18-yard line. Right back to the line of scrimmage. 3:15 left to go. Tanner's forced to change on defense. Right back to the line of scrimmage. Morenci sets. He's going to roll to his left. Naked bootleg. He's got some yardage. Cuts it outside down to the 10, to the 5, close to the end zone. Just a naked bootleg. He went against the grain. Everybody goes to the right. He goes to the left and almost scores.
He's down to the 4, so the gain is 14. Another first down for Beverly.
What a play. First down for the Panthers. First and goal. They're knocking on the door again, just hammering away. Here's a handoff, I think, to
Miller,
and he goes in. Last back through, following the blocks. He scores, and the lead is increased to 20-7.
Check that. That's not Miller. I was close. Yes, it is Miller.
No, it's Madden. Madden. You're saying, yep. He usually gets it in that situation, but you never know. Everybody's carried the ball down there, so we correct it. It is Madden with the carry. Madden's first touchdown of the night from 4 yards out. Now they're saying it was Malumba with the touchdown? Wow, okay. So we change it up. 2:46, 20-7. And this is a long high kick that also is true. 21-7.
So Madden's kick is good. And it's 21-7. A minute and 27 seconds on that drive. 41 yards in 6 plays.
Yeah, really. Let's catch our breath here. Good God. All right. So let's see. 127 yards of offense for Beverly first half. 96 yards for Peabody. 21-7. And that's what Beverly does. They take advantage of field position. Special teams, field position. And, boy, this no-huddle offense has worked to perfection.
Yeah. Well, Beverly had great field position. Their opening possession of the game on a fumble recovery, it went for naught in a field goal attempt that went a little bit short to the near side. But since then, it's just been Katie bar the door for them. And very, very quickly, because Peabody got back and tied it, and then the next play, the ensuing kickoff, Beverly went back 70 yards for the touchdown. That gave them the one TD lead. They lead by 2 TDs now, 21-7 with 2:46 to play here in the first half.
And their defense has been stout. They did give up the one touchdown drive, but other than that, it's been pretty good. Madden, onside kick, goes short, covered up by the Tanners at the 46. I guess they just want to keep it away from Santos. Why not? Covered up nicely. That's not the all-hands team, by the way. Covered up by Nico Johnson, a junior offensive lineman, 5'9", 150. He just pounced right on it at the 46-yard line.
It's also a testament to your defense if you think that you're very comfortable giving the other team, with 2 minutes and 43 seconds to play in the half, this kind of field position.
Well, blessedly, Peabody huddles up. Ball midway between the hash marks. Tanners are moving from right to left toward the snack bar. I formation set up behind him out of wing to the right. Santos, from his tailback position, follows a block up the middle and squirms forward to the 49.
Christian Miller with the tackle for the Panthers. Peabody making a bunch of changes here on offense.
Second down and 7 for Peabody. The scores three for Beverly this quarter, one for Peabody. Abatey, Miller, and Malumba for Beverly, and Santos for Peabody. All right, they're going to spread the field. Trips to the right side, one running back behind the quarterback. Dropping back to passes, D'Amato rolling to his right. Throws it underneath, complete, and out of bounds at the Beverly 47-yard line. Jake Daugherty with the catch. Nice pass, short yardage, but it's yardage. It's to the 47.
That's the
total of 4 yards.
First completed pass. They had the halfback option that went incomplete and one other that went incomplete.
Could be taking a long time getting the play and then going back into the huddle on a far hash mark. So we're inside the two-minute mark, 1:59 on the scoreboard clock, 21-7. Beverly Panthers leading this one. Twins to the left side, I formation. Santos with the pitch. Panthers in the backfield, and they gang tackle Santos for a loss to the 49. They drove him back to the 46, but progress gives him to the 49 of Peabody.
Miller, Schwinard, Madden for Beverly in there. And as you say, it takes three or four guys to get him down.
3 yard loss. And now it is fourth down and long as we have another timeout, I believe.
Minute 34 to play here in the first half. And this presentation of MSONewsSports.com is brought to you by the Porthole Restaurant. Try their award-winning clam chowder. The Porthole provides a great dining value, combining quality with quantity. And by the Lynn Auditorium, one of the premier entertainment venues in the state, and the daily item of Lynn, an item of live.com, serving the North Shore since 1877, a great source for North Shore news, sports, and entertainment information. Yeah, and
excuse me, I'm just looking. One, two, three. So there have been three snaps from scrimmage to someone other than Santos besides this last pass play. Whereas Beverly has had four or five guys carrying the ball. Santos, I'm sorry, they're going to punt now. Fourth down for Peabody. Punt is a low kick. Going to bounce and be caught at the 25-yard line by the Panthers. And they're going to bring it out to about the 32. Waiting for the number. Christian Miller with the return. So the Beverly defense has held again. And Panthers will start at their own 33. With a minute 24 left to go in the half.
14-yard nut punt. 13. No, I need to go back for remedial arithmetic. 17, 20 yards.
You know, it's so easy to criticize these guys when you're watching a game, you know, like on college games,
yeah,
or, you know, the pros, and you say, I can, you know. But when you're here, there's so much other stuff going on. Jeez. And, of course, Beverly's not helping us at all with this no-huddle offense tonight. A new wrinkle by Coach Dan Bauer and his staff. Now Morenci is not sure what they want to do here, and they will huddle up. Minute 24 left to go. The press box is full. The stands are full. And great to see so many people here on this beautiful night. Morenci is under center with the split backfield. Now he'll drop back into the shotgun. With Twins to the left, and he's going to put Madden over to his left side and send Schwinard in motion. And there's a shuttle pass out to Madden, trying to cut the corner. He does. 40.
There he goes.
And 50, and out of bounds inside the Peabody side of the field.
Frank Falco gets him over at the 49-yard line, and considering that that play was almost a busted play, and they got it up to the 49-yard line, it's a 16-yard pickup.
That was a two-handed chest pass, a la basketball in that one. It is first down with 1:15 left to go, and they stopped the clock by getting out of bounds. So Beverly is at the, and they huddled up this time. They're at the Peabody 49. They're going to send Rodding way out to the right side, and a man in motion. That's Schwinard. They're going to, I'm sorry, here's a halfback option.
Deflected.
It's intercepted at the 40-yard line by the Tanners, and down right there as it was deflected and hauled in. I don't have a 54 in my program.
Francisco Mendoza, number 54.
Oh, I'm on the wrong one. Yep, okay. Mendoza with the interception. Very alert. Nice play. And very important, as that was a halfback option that time. It fizzled for the Panthers. And now Peabody, with a minute and 8 seconds left, has one more chance to get on this scoreboard.
Second time in the air for the Panthers, and this time Mendoza pulls it down. He had just enough possession before he turned sideways, took a licking, and coughed the ball up, but they're saying that he had enough control of it to count the interception.
All right, so this is play action and a completion for no gain as the ball was caught by Jake Daugherty, and D'Amato let it go just as he was being hit. He was leveled, and it just went back to the line of scrimmage, maybe half a yard.
It's Hugh Calise. They got him and got him hard.
46 seconds left to go in the half. Peabody trying to get another score up here, trailing by 14. Beverly has everybody within 7 yards of the line of scrimmage, however. Hand off to Santos. He's going to get some room to the outside and haul down at the 48-yard line by a couple of Panthers, including Routing.
And Garrity.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin Flaherty. But it's a nice gain of 8.
At the 48. No, 49. Yep. So, clock shows 24 seconds. We have the timeout for Peabody. I'm sure this will be a short one.
It's their last one as well. Halftime, we expect to talk to Peabody High School Athletic Director Phil Sheridan, who in the School of Time Flies has been in that job 21 years.
That's amazing.
Sometime this season, we'll have to talk about the 94 season and Coach Perrone and the book and now, which may actually be a movie.
Okay. All right, back to the I formation this time with D'Amato under center and DeMaio the fullback. Santos with the handoff, cuts it outside, first down, turns the corner, 40, stutter steps, 30, breaks a tackle, 20, and cuts it inside to the 15-yard line, and the clock is stopped.
35.
So he gets it all the way down to the 15. He can break it from anywhere. I guess they'll put it at the 16. And they get there, get a timeout, 35 yards. Let's see, 43, 16... 16 carries, 118 yards now for Santos with 14 seconds left in the half. Ball is at the Beverly 17.
That's a big lift for the Tanners if they take this one into the house as they go into the locker room at halftime. And even if they don't, they've had a tremendous drive.
Okay, I formation. Slot to the left, wing to the left, passing to the left. Puts it up. Intended receiver. It's going to be intercepted by Schwinnard. No, by
10.
Number 10.
Jordan Routing.
Routing. And the intended receiver, I think, was Brandon Muse. But I'm not even sure about that. Oh, no. It was Okinawa down there.
And well, Santos was in the neighborhood, too, but I think he was just over there to check on it.
Well, that shuts it down immediately.
So the Panthers will have the football. 7 seconds on the scoreboard clock, and the ball will be on the 7-yard line.
007. All right, they take a knee. That should do it. What a half. 21-7 from Coley Lee Field in Peabody, Massachusetts. Beverly 21. And Peabody 7 at the half. We'll be back.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan at Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
Halftime here at Coley Lee Field in Peabody Veterans Memorial Stadium behind Veterans Memorial High School. It is 21-7 with the Beverly Panthers leading the Peabody Tanners in Northeastern Conference Large opening night. Panthers come into this football game 2-0 in non-conference play. The Peabody Tanners are 1-1. Peabody had the ball to start the football game off but fumbled it, and it was recovered by Jordan Rodding. In the first quarter, Beverly moved the ball downfield about 16 yards as they recovered it on the 24. They were stopped by the Peabody defense, and a field goal attempt there was no good. Peabody took over on their own 20-yard line after the failed field goal and brought it up to the 46, forced a punt, and Beverly takes over at their own 38-yard line. March down the field at the end of the first quarter. They're down at the 29 of Peabody. 13 plays, 70 yards, and Abatey, a 3-yard run. Madden's kick is good, and a drive that took 3 minutes and 14 seconds, and it is 7-0, Beverly on top. On the following kickoff, Santos runs the ball 55 yards on the kickoff return, and Doug Santos puts the Tanners in tremendous field position as they start the drive on the 44-yard line of the Beverly Panthers. They move it downfield and score as Doug Santos makes the run from the 20-yard line, and he has 25, 50, 75, 80. He has 81 yards of the 99 yards of the six plays in that touchdown drive that took 3 minutes and 3 seconds. D'Amato's kick is good, and we're tied at 7 with 6:54 to play in the first half. Right after that, the Beverly Panthers' Chris Miller took the football on the kickoff from the 70-yard line and ran it downfield, and Madden's kick was good, and Beverly goes on top by a score of 14-7. Peabody moves downfield, gives up the football Beverly on downs. Beverly gets it back at the 41-yard line of the Peabody Tanners, and it is brought in by Peter Malumba, the third Beverly score of the football game, with 2:46 to play in the first half. The point after attempt is good, and we are at 21-7. And that is the way that the first half has come to an end. Peabody mounted a drive. Beverly and on an interception with 7 seconds to play here in the first half. Beverly's defense snuffed that one out. So we are at halftime here in Peabody, where the Beverly Panthers lead the Peabody Tanners by a score of 21-7. You're on MSONewsSports.com.
This is MoreStuffOnline.com, the halftime show, brought to you in part by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire.
This is Mayor Safathia Romeo Taken, and I'm running for mayor of Gloucester. I'm so proud to be your mayor. We're bringing Gloucester back together. I want to be elected. In order for me to be elected, I need your vote on September 29th. For me to be on the ballot November 3rd, please don't assume. Go vote September 29th. Since I took over position in January, we have accomplished more than I ever thought we could do. We conquered the winter. We balanced the budget. We brought Gloucester across the bridge to the State House. We ensured heritage and culture and preserved it. We made Gloucester alive this summer. I was born here, lived here all my life. I'm Gloucester, and I want to move Gloucester forward together. So please, vote September 29th and vote Safathia.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Keep coming, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at BradfordTavern.com.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
All right, we're being regaled by the Beverly High School band, playing a little Metallica here earlier, and doing a great job, I might add. Very entertaining, and the drum majors switch sides, and it's pretty cool. And they got the flags flying. It's very high schoolish, but very nice. Very nice.
With Beverly being nomadic this year and not having a home field because of the conditions at Hurd Stadium,
all the more impressive.
I'm trying to think back of whether this would have been a home game for Beverly or not, and I frankly don't remember, but it's nice to see that the Beverly band is traveling with the team, and it is packed in here. There are stands on just on one side of the field, and it's the side across from the high school. You can't get down from here. You couldn't get up from here if you needed to. So it's a tremendous crowd here, and we talked to Phil Sheridan before the game and to his assistant as well. They expected this. They planned for a lot of traffic. They've got plenty of folks on hand and a good security crew here as well. And I just looked at the scoreboard and realized I was looking at the reflection of it.
And it's backwards there.
I just realized that.
Yeah, it looks like it's in hieroglyphics. Yeah. On our over on Channel A in our video, our live streaming video tonight, We see that Lynn Classical is leading Revere by a score of 14-7. Remember, Revere comes in unbeaten at 2-0, and Classical winless at 0-2. That's over on Channel A right now, and you can also pick up the live streaming video. Our videographer, of course, tonight is Andrew Nicastro, doing a super job. He'll be with us tomorrow, too. Our video game will feature Gloucester at Swampscott. And I'm just thinking, back to the days of WESX, Marty, when at nighttime you had about a 20-mile radius, I think, of broadcast capability. And here we are. We can just do anything, anywhere, at any time, and it's remarkable.
And I know that because I saw most of Beverly last year, I know that the Beverly coaching staff's families, who have families around the country, listen, and now they'll be able to watch us.
All right, let's take a look at some stats. Marty gave you the scoring plays. The statistics, I haven't really gone over the Beverly stats because they've got so many guys carrying the ball. They've had at least five ball carriers tonight. 145 total yards for Beverly, but again, they've had short field, and they have taken advantage of it. On the other side, 139 yards for the Peabody Tanners, but Doug Santos, as usual, is the offensive story of the night. 16 carries, 118 yards from scrimmage, and he had numerous kickoff returns for huge yardage. So he's over 200 yards, total purpose yards, but from scrimmage, 16 carries, 118 yards, and the only touchdown, that was a 19-yarder by Santos. So another impressive night by Doug Santos, and another impressive night by the Beverly defense, as their offense continues to be, they talk about a three-headed monster. It's been five or six tonight.
Yeah, 78 yards just in kickoff returns for Santos. For Beverly, it is Madden's fifth touchdown of the season, it is Miller's third touchdown of the season, and it is Abatey's second touchdown of the season, which means that, well, it is Peter Malumba, so it is Peter Malumba's third touchdown of the season. I was just going to say that he's the only one who has not scored, but he has his third of the season. So I have somebody, given somebody credit for one who didn't get one.
All right, Abatey, Miller, and Malumba have the Beverly touchdowns. Abatey, Miller, and Malumba.
I've given Madden, because we gave Madden and I wrote it down in one place and then wrote Malumba down in another place.
All right, I think we need to take another break. We'll be back with the second half in just a few minutes. 21-7, Beverly over Peabody.
What's your fears become your God?
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. There is clearly a difference not only in selecting the right vehicle for your needs, but selecting the right dealership to buy it from. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Madruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trusts, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first. on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
You come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
We are at Coley Lee Field in Peabody, where we are getting set for the start of the second half here with Beverly with a 21-7 lead over the Peabody Tanners. Northeastern Conference large opening game of the 2015 season.
19? Whoa. Where's your mind?
Yeah. I told you, my summer reading was the 1994, the Sean Stellato's book about the 1994 Salem Witches and the strike and all of that stuff. So it was interesting reading.
And I'm sure, and Sean Stellato was such a backer and admirer of Ken Perrone as well. And, of course, Sean, very successful as an athlete and as an agent and as a promoter of good things from Salem.
Yep. And, in, of course, full disclosure, after Coach Perrone retired, he came to work with me when I was with WESX, and we spent many years together in a broadcast booth.
That's how I found out I was fired from ESX, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
I showed up one day, and Coach Perrone was sitting in my seat. Nobody had told me. So that was the end of that. So, you know.
It's a dog-eat-dog business.
There you go. And I ain't going to mess with the coach. Hell no. Oh, man.
Panthers are out on the field, lined up across the way with a 21-7 lead, and we talked about it at the beginning of the game, the tenacity of the Beverly defense and just how tough they've been. There has been one ball carrier primarily, and that's been Doug Santos, and he is going to be a challenge. Santos is going to be a challenge for whoever Peabody plays, because even with as stout as the Panthers defense is, it's taking three or four guys to bring him down.
Yep, and on the other side of things, it's very difficult for the Peabody offense to stop, defense to stop Matt Madden, Christian Miller, Peter Malumba, Sam Abatey, Kyle Schwenard, and a cast of thousands. It's very difficult, and thus you have the 21-7 lead. However, football is also a game of adjustments, and I think that no-huddle offense, which was so effective in the first half, we'll see if Peabody counters that with anything to start the second half, or, if Beverly even gets away with it, or gets away from it, I should say. Let's see if that happens.
We're waiting for the arrival of the Peabody Tanners to come back on the field, and they're coming from the far side. If you followed Beverly last year, a lot of the names that we're talking about, you heard a lot of. Kyle Schwenard was one name that you didn't hear a lot of. He didn't get a lot of action last year at the varsity level. He is a returning letterman, but he has become one of the factors in the offense in just the third game for the Panthers this year.
Do you notice in the major league games, the NFL games, that the 50-yard lines have been painted gold? Did you notice that?
No, I didn't.
It's the 50th anniversary of the Super Bowl.
Ah.
Yeah, I noticed that the other. In fact, I didn't notice it because who would notice those things? But my wife did.
Ah.
And by golly, she was right. On every single field, they have it painted. The 50-yard line and the numerals 50 are all painted gold. And I presume that's due to the fact that the Super Bowl is 50 years old.
So this is Super Bowl L. Is it L 50?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because they were, I didn't bring my hat, but yeah, they were LXX.
LIL.
I know it's XX. I don't know. You put to the tens to the left and it's whatever. I used to know that stuff. I'm a math teacher, not a Roman numeral guy. Well, anyway, 21-7 is our score. And it's, again, a beautiful night. The moon has risen high now in the sky, crystal clear, almost full. The full moon will be prevalent on Sunday. It's as close as the Earth-Moon system gets to each other. It's called perigee on Sunday. It's the closest the moon approaches the Earth during the year. I almost said during the school year. And there will be a total lunar eclipse on Sunday night around 10 p.m. So get out if the weather is good and take a look.
Not bad for a math teacher that you know all of this Earth
science
stuff too.
I'm also an amateur astronomer. And I do have teaching certificates in math, science, and English. So still keep them active.
So this is Friday night, September 25th. Our Saturday game is Gloucester at Swampscott. That is a noontime game on Saturday, and that will be our video game for Saturday as well. Friday night on the 2nd of October, it'll be Beverly at Lynn English and Marblehead at Peabody. Rick will be here at Peabody, and Tim Kearns and I will be at Lynn.
Paul Ingram will be with me next week as well. Malumba is in the middle, Schwenard on the near side. Looks like Miller on the far side, back inside their own 15-yard line as we await the kickoff to start the second half, 21-7. Beverly on top, looking to make it 3-0 this year. Peabody looking to come back, and they first order of business will be to hold the Panthers on this opening series, and maybe try to get the ball. So we are just about ready for the kick, and there it is. It's a short kick coming down to Miller at the 20. Goes from left to right toward the middle, crisscrosses the field, now cuts it back up the field to the 40, to the 50. He's got a lane to the 40, and he's knocked down at the 35-yard line. So Christian Miller puts Beverly right back in a threatening position at the Peabody 34-yard line.
19 and 15.
Make it the 35. They do put it at the 35.
34-yard line, 34-yard return.
Scoreboard has been knocked out. I don't know why. There is no scoreboard. So I don't know what the time is. We'll start at the 35-yard line. Probably 15 seconds or so taken off with the return. We didn't pull a plug, did we?
Nope.
I haven't gone near anything,
nope.
So usually
nope,
it's me.
We're not near that wiring.
When Tim and I first started, we had the computer in the rain in Gloucester one night, and it shorted out everything. It shorted out the stadium lights, the scoreboard. We sneaked out of there very quietly in the third quarter, Marblehead and Beverly. First and 10, Marblehead and Gloucester, rather. First and 10, Beverly on the near hash mark. They are in a wing formation after being in a shotgun. They shift to the wing. And Morency is the quarterback. Hands it off to Schwenard from right half back. Goes to the left side off tackle and squirms his way down to the 30-yard line.
5-yard pickup for Schwenard. And then there was the Thanksgiving Day Beverly-Salem football game, the year that Hurd Stadium had been renovated. And I think when
that was
the
a baby,
radio
I'm sorry.
Equipment got plugged in, all the lights and the scoreboard went out.
That was a Beatty. My bad.
Yes.
Got it down to the 30. Second and 5. Second down and 5 from the 30. Phil Sheridan's up here trying to fix the scoreboard as the handoff is to Madden. Oh, he's clobbered as he gets positive yardage. They had him down low, and then he got hit up high at the 22-yard line, but he's none the worse for wear, I think.
Ooh, Francisco Mendoza got him. I think what was happening was he was falling forward. Mendoza's forward progress, his momentum, carried him right into him.
First down on the 8-yard gain. This is Schwenard, and he's going to get close to a first down going off of left tackle down to the 11-yard line. So consecutive first downs by the Panthers, and they have, again, assumed the no-huddle. And I think it's at the 13, about a 9-yard gain, so it's second and 1. Run play off to the left side down to the 10, I think.
It's Malumba.
Yep, Malumba getting up gingerly.
Give Tommy Andrews some credit for making some space on that left side of the line, too, for the Beverly Panthers.
So it's third down and 1 at the 11. Split full house backfield. Hand off to the left halfback. Going around to the right. He's got some room. 10, 5. Walks into the end zone. Madden. So Madden picks up his first touchdown of the night. 11-yard sweep to the right. And for Beverly, almost too easy. 5 plays, 35 yards with the short field. Yep, and they increase the lead to 27-7 as Phil Sheridan has fixed the scoreboard. It's back online.
5th touchdown of the season for Matt Madden of the Beverly Panthers. On an 11-yard scamper for him along the right side.
And he will attempt the point after. As we said, 5 plays, 35 yards. Ball is a good snap. It's a good hold, and it's a good kick. So Madden adds to his scoring, and it is now 28-7. Clock is showing 11 minutes. They'll fix that
soon.
Yeah,
they'll get
soon.
It caught up.
Yep. They'll get it caught up as the officials are running down up here. And again, that was five plays and 35 yards, and it's exactly what Peabody did not want, and of course exactly what Beverly did. 170 yards of total offense now for the Panthers. They increased the lead 28-7, and they have really quieted this crowd down, at least the Peabody part of it.
So we've had Chris Miller with the 34-yard kickoff return to set up this one, and the 70-yard kickoff return for his own touchdown, so he's got 104 yards just in special teams.
Yeah, special teams.
On two plays.
Yeah, you don't see reflected from scrimmage, but special teams are just gigantic with this team. All right, so the clock is showing 9:10 now, so Beverly ran off a couple of minutes on that drive. 9:10 left to go third quarter, and it's now a three-touchdown cushion for the Panthers. Madden, again, a line drive kick, comes up short. Whoa, at the 50. Good reaction by
Jim McCarthy.
Yeah, an end. Great reaction. That was a line drive into his hands, and he held on to it. Well, Peabody now needs to organize and tighten up their chin straps and get something on the scoreboard here. 9:08 left to go. They're trailing 28-7. Ball on the far hash mark right at the 50. I don't like the term midfield.
No?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't know why. I formation set up behind D'Amato. Handoff to guess who? Santos hit behind the line of scrimmage and slammed to the turf. No gain, maybe. No, they're going to give him back to the 49. Nothing. Yard loss.
Okay, he got a block in front of him, but he kind of ran out of field on the right side as he was headed to the sideline, had to cut back, and just in that fraction of a second gave the Beverly defender the opportunity to come back and make the tackle.
Defense for the Panthers has been something through the first three games now. Faust, Garrity, Berry up front, Miller, Police, Shares, Madden, linebackers, Rawling, Malumba, Flaherty, defensive backs. Second down and 11 for Peabody. Santos up the middle this time, follows some blocks and gets positive yardage forward to the 45 of Beverly.
If you took a look at this Beverly defense and took the shoulder pads off of them, you'd think you were looking at a track team, because most of the Beverly defense is tall and rangy, as opposed to the fire plug kind of guys that you would normally expect to see.
Third down and 5 for Peabody. Very important third down for the Tanners, trailing big time now. David Pence, Chris Goggins, Marcus Gutierrez, Dan Heredia, and Dan Smith up front for Peabody. DeMaio is the fullback. Santos, the tailback, breaks a tackle, spins loose, and gets the first down at the 40-yard line. Second effort for Santos.
Yeah, he bounced off of Matt Carnevale, and then Carnevale got back up and got him down low and pulled him down.
So now, that's a huge first down. Peabody stays alive. They're at the Beverly 39. 19th carry. And 128 yards for Santos from scrimmage.
7:24 to play here in the third quarter.
He must sleep well after these games. All these kids must. I formation set up behind D'Amato. Handoff Santos up the middle again. Finds a hole. Breaks through and gets it down to the 35. Mercy. About a 4-yard gain for Santos. And now
Nick Shares gets a piece of him.
20th carry for Santos. I think we saw him carry it 30-something times last year in a game.
Oof.
30, I don't know how many, but it was over 30. He's heading that way tonight. 6:46 left to go, third quarter, 28-7 Beverly. Madden, the touchdown in this half in the third quarter. Play action, flares it out to the left, complete, and dropped for a loss back at the 36-yard line. DeMaio on the receiving end. Beverly had the radar on that one and shut it down and put it back at the just shy of the 35. So it's no gain. And we're talking third and almost six now.
Coach Betancourt's got kind of a situation here, because if he doesn't go to Santos, the ball doesn't go forward a lot of times for his club.
And they need to figure that out. Santos with the pitch. Juggles the ball, gets it in, and does not... Well, second effort gets him close to the first down. He's at the 31.
Well, it sets up a fourth down on the four-yard pickup. So it is fourth and a short two, I would say, from just inside the 32-yard line.
Yep. Another big play
coming
up as Panthers with hands on hips defensively. Peabody breaks the huddle. Here we go. Fourth down and a long 2 yards to go for Peabody on the far hash mark, moving from right to left. Double wing off to the left. Two men behind the quarterback, and it's Santos, direct snap. He's going to break a tackle, pulls his way forward, and doesn't get it. I think he's short.
Yeah, the line judge on this side is going to put the ball right on the 30. He's short by inches.
Guess who made the stop? Flaherty again. Flaherty getting down low and squaring up with Santos, and Beverly takes over on downs.
So they had the ball for 4 minutes and 1 second and ran seven plays. Got one first down out of the deal and have to turn the ball over on downs at their own 30-yard line, at the Beverly 30-yard line. So Beverly will take over on downs here with 4:01 to play in the third quarter. And Beverly with a 28-7 lead. They had a 21-7 lead at the halftime on MSONewsSports.com, which is being brought to you by the Sylvan Street Grill, where you can eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill and Honeydew Donuts. The only way to go. Enjoy the local flavor.
I'm just curious where you got 4:01 for the time.
That's how much time they used up.
I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention.
That's okay.
I'm the dummy.
Nope.
Malumba on the carry. 2 yards. Second and 8.
It's that hockey thing.
I'm tired. It is. That's right. God. Let's see. It is at the 32. So 2 yard gain for Malumba. Second down and 8. Clock moving. 4:48 left to go. Third quarter. Only scoring in the second half so far, Matt Madden, an 11-yard run. Four different carriers for Beverly have scored tonight. Abatey, Miller, Malumba, and Madden. Sounds pretty familiar, I think.
Mm-hmm.
On the far hash mark, beautiful field, beautiful night. Great crowd on hand. Run play for the Panthers. Miller squirms his way forward to the 37. Second and 4, 5 yard gain. Second and 4 at the 37. Full house backfield. Left halfback gets the call off of right tackle. Swarmed under. Trap play, nothing. And I think it might have been Malumba again.
I'm thinking.
Yeah, Madden.
It's Madden.
Matt Madden with the carry. No gain. Well, we'll give him.
Got two actually out of that.
To the 39. 2 yard gain, right back to the line of scrimmage. Beverly will punt. Kevin Flaherty and punt. Now I don't even know. They call a timeout.
Jake Doherty making the tackle on that. One thing about the no huddle offense that the Beverly Panthers are running doesn't give us a chance to talk much about the Peabody defense and call out the guys that have been having a pretty active evening, and Doherty would be one of those guys.
So we did that with the timeout. All right, now they're going to put. Fourth down and 1 with trips to the right. They're going to shift into deep punt formation this time, I think. Yeah, so they will get the ball away. It is a high punt that's going to drive Santos back to his 24-yard line. And, man, he is brought down right there. How about that for coverage? Whew, mercy.
11-26.
That doesn't happen often.
37-yard punt.
Santos stopped in his tracks. Once again, Peabody will have the ball on offense at their own 25.
I don't think we've seen Beverly go 3 and out.
Nope,
in this
we have not.
Game.
And that's the first punt for the Panthers. We have not. You are correct, sir. Coach Betancourt in his shorts, short sleeve shirt out there at the 30-yard line. Headset on. Kids following him along the sideline, staying close. First and 10 for Peabody with 3:25 left to go. I formation once again set up behind D'Amato. Second back is Santos. He gets a big hole, and he explodes out to the 40-yard line.
15-yard pickup and a first down.
Saving tackle by, I don't know, number three? Ahmad Al-Shrafi? He's a senior. Nice tackle. Santos gets it out for a first down immediately to the 40, and that's what they need. Peabody needs a quick strike.
3:01, clock running here, third quarter.
152 yards from scrimmage for Santos. This time he is not the tailback, but the tailback gets the call and gets a first down across midfield into Beverly Real Estate, and that's Okinawa carrying the ball.
He was crawling around, yep, crawling along, thinking maybe I'll get a couple more yards. They won't notice that I'm down on both of my knees.
Well, he had great balance too to stay on his feet. It's at the Beverly 47.
13-yard pickup.
Two consecutive first downs, and Malumba is the tailback now, spelling Santos. Santos not in the game. DeMaio is the fullback, and we have a whistle and an injury timeout as number three limps off the field, Ahmad Al-Shrafi. And I think,
yeah,
is it Flaherty who comes in for him? Or is it number two who comes in for him? I think it's number two, Christian Echeverria. Well, anyway, it is a timeout for the Panthers on the injury as play will resume. 2:29 left.
See, now, if this was a Patriots game, people would say that that injury was just to break the momentum.
They cheated. First and 10. Handoff. Santos back in the game. Finds an opening down to the 41-yard line. Put it at the just short of the 41. So call it 5, second and 5. 24th carry for Santos. 157 yards.
Chris Faust, Christian Miller. The tackles.
2 minutes left to go in the third quarter. Crowd kind of quiet, but it is packed here, man. It is packed. A lot of people ringing the field as well. Always good to see at a high school game. I formation, wing off to the left. Handoff. Santos trying to pick a spot. Reverses field, goes down for no gain.
Matt Madden makes the tackle on that one for no gain.
More football tomorrow, of course, Gloucester at Swampscott. That will be our live streaming video game as well, starting at noon. Bill Newell and I will be there for that one.
And it's brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and Moore GMC of Danvers, serving the North Shore since 1969 at 84 High Street in Danvers.
Okay, you got five men up on the line of scrimmage now for the Panthers. Hand off to Santos. He slips but still gains momentum. He's wrapped up in the backfield but still gets positive yardage. As
Carnevale.
Yeah, Carnevale had him on the legs and he still went forward for a couple of yards to the 37 of Beverly. So that's the fourth carry on this series. 25th overall.
So it brings up a fourth and a short one.
For Santos. That's the important stat. Fourth and one at the 37 of Beverly. I formation. Santos crashing forward, getting the first down and more. And moving the pile to the 33.
A lot of second effort because he just got away from the tackle there of Beverly's Ryan Garrity and also of Chris Faust. And they've been the two that have been probably the most successful at bottling him up.
That was the 26th carry from scrimmage for Santos. And how many returns does he have tonight?
Two at least.
Mm-hmm. Of long yards. 10 seconds left to go, third quarter. Tanner's at the line of scrimmage. Let's see if we get it off. 5 seconds. Four. Still setting up the offense. 1 second. And they're going to call it right there. So we have played three from Coley Lee Field at Peabody Veterans Memorial High School in Peabody, Massachusetts. And the score after three, it is 28-7 in favor of Beverly. We'll be back.
Why are you voting for Paul McGeary?
I'm voting for Paul McGeary for mayor because he does his homework and he gets things done.
He's been my city councilor and is always helpful.
He fights for our schools.
Paul helps us support sobriety and combat substance abuse.
He listens.
He'll bring good jobs to Gloucester.
I trust Paul.
I'm Paul McGeary. I'm asking for your vote for mayor on Tuesday, September 29th, and I approve this message.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember that Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Fourth quarter of football, Northeastern Conference large opening game of the season between the Beverly Panthers and the Peabody Tanners. Beverly with a 28-7 lead, but Peabody right now knocking, well, as close as they've, pretty much as close as they've been. They're at the 32-yard line of Beverly.
First down, back to pass. Plenty of time for the quarterback to model, but nobody to pass to. Now he's running, looking to throw, unloads it. It is complete to Santos, who is hit from behind. He was exposed, clobbered by Flaherty, and it's an incompleted pass at the 20.
Flaherty and Matt Carnevale get back there.
Whew.
Tremendous pressure put on by Ryan Garrity of the Beverly Panthers as quarterback D'Amato had all kinds of time. He probably had 4 or 5 seconds, maybe a little bit longer, before Garrity was able to break free and get in the backfield, and then he was just scrambling for his life.
And no flags. Usually you see a flag on a play that is that extended. In high school, second down and 10. D'Amato doing a great job of getting loose, but boy, was Santos exposed on that one, and he was clobbered as he went up for the ball. So it is second down and 10 for Peabody, trailing Beverly, 28-7 as we start the fourth quarter. D'Amato is the fullback, Santos the halfback, but it's an end around, and it is Okinawa who's going to be tackled in the backfield for a loss of a back to, well, it's going to get maybe to the line of scrimmage. So no gain.
You get nothing.
Third down and 10 for Peabody. And they need this touchdown. They need to get back in it, and they need to get a steal. It's not out of range yet, but they've got to generate some offense. I believe Beverly has given up 2 touchdowns so far in the first 3 games. They gave up 1 against Wakefield, none last week, and 1 tonight.
Yeah, they've only given up 6 points coming into this game, so they've given up 13 through 2 games and 3 quarters plus of a third game.
And knocking on the door for 100 in offense. Santos gets the call. Oh, he knocks over a Beverly tackler, but he in turn is tackled at the 26 or 27. So a short gain, and that's it. Fourth down coming up.
5-yard pickup.
Well, you're right. It's at the 27. You are correct. Didn't seem that many.
And there's the thing we talked about a little bit earlier. If it's not Santos, it doesn't seem to go anyplace, but they got to keep going in other directions to keep the Panthers from keying on Santos, and even when they do, he gets 5.
Clock is moving. 9:25 left to go in the ball game. I stacked up. Santos the call. Buried at the 27. Yikes. Whew.
That's Ryan Garrity.
Mercy. And so once again, Beverly stops Peabody's offense after 10 plays. They started at their own 25, got it down to the Beverly 27. That's as far as they got. Well, I make it the 26.
9 minutes and 16 seconds to play in this football game. And now you wonder if Beverly will continue to run with the no huddle, or whether they will huddle up a little bit here with a 21-point lead. They're deep in their own territory, however, at their own 26-yard line.
Well, they come right out to the line of scrimmage, and I expect them to take their foot off the pedal a little bit here soon. 9:16 left to go, ball at their own 26, as you mentioned. It is Madden trying to sweep to the right. He might have a yard or two. Whole left side of the Peabody defense on the far sideline, knocking him down. And they're going to give him a yard to the 27.
Frank Falco in on the tackle for the Tanners along with Cam Cordaro.
And Beverly is huddling up. You would think they'd want to take time off the clock now.
That and they've been on the field a lot and have moved the ball a lot. A little breather.
Yeah. Clock moving. They're taking their time now in the huddle. Thank goodness. Now maybe we can keep up. Again, I can't get over the crowd. The last 2 weeks here on Friday night, big crowd last week in Gloucester. Beverly travels very well. And Peabody, of course, with the support here. Madden, handoff, sweep, right side, cuts it back upfield, and he gets it out to the 31 or 32.
Well, you talked about it a little bit with Coach Betancourt, too, about the support that his team is getting from the community. The community's coming back out on Friday nights. You're starting to see more support here for the Tanners. And even when we were coming in, there's a tremendous line of banners from the local merchants.
Yep. Second and five, ball is, third and five, ball is at the Beverly 32. Here's a double handoff, second back, goes forward close to the first down.
Really close.
And it's Madden. Getting up a little slowly. I think he might have got the wind knocked out of him, but he bounces right up.
He got a first down out of that, and that was on a... He looked like a...
He went airborne.
Yeah. I was going to say he looked like a porpoise cutting through the air.
Yep.
And just landed and skidded and had enough for the first down.
Yep. Barely, but it is a first down. Beverly maintains possession, 7.5 left to go. And Coach Betancourt has really, really put the tradition... Mm-hmm. Continued the tradition at Peabody and given the Tanners a real good identity for winning football once again. Penalty marker's thrown. Schwernard cuts it around the corner, gets out to the 45. It's maybe the second penalty of the game. I don't know.
I think it's the first one that's actually going to get marked because the other one was they picked up the flag.
Oh, but there was one against one of the teams earlier.
Okay.
Holding?
It was in holding territory.
Yep, against Beverly. So we will bring this one back. But as I was saying, Coach Betancourt was with his tremendous success as a baseball coach and then bringing that along into the fall, turning around the culture, bringing the culture up to where it is ordinarily in the Peabody tradition and getting a lot of support. As you mentioned, the kids are doing great, but they're down in this one 28-7,
and he's got a lot of turnout here. In fact, there are so many guys on the near sideline below us that there are multiple people wearing the same number.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to see. It really is. Okay, Madden, handoff, second, cuts, goes to the right, cuts it back to the left, across the 30 to the 32.
He gets five, but it will set up a second and 15 after the holding call.
And, of course, on the other side, Coach Bauer and his staff, as Coach Betancourt was mentioning, experienced, talented, smart, everything. And, you know, what can you say when you've got, you've got great coaches. I know Ben Goodhue in the booth down off to our right, former student of mine. But when you've got Roger Day running your offense, hello. 6:12 left to go, second down and long. Double handoff again, and this time doesn't go anywhere. No gain, maybe a yard loss. I think that was...
Sam Abatey, I think.
Yeah, it was. It was Abatey. You are correct.
And Beverly had a couple of coaches move on to bigger responsibility this year, and that's kind of a tribute to the coaches.
Well, Jeff Hutton, head coach over at Manchester.
Yep.
Okay, we have a timeout. I think we need to take another quick break. We'll be right back if I can find the right thing here. We'll be right back.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Okay, we have a second down and long, third and long, I should say, facing Beverly at their own 31. Here's a Statue of Liberty play. The run play is going to get a couple yards back to about the 33, and I think we've got some new backs in the lineup for Beverly. And a little chippiness going on the sideline.
Yeah, Steve Serino is in the game now for Beverly. Kyle Schwernard.
Schwernard with the carry. Had
the carry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, let's see. It's to the 30. to 1 yard. And Beverly undoubtedly will punt, leading 28-7. 5:50 left to go in the game.
Yeah, 4th and 16.
The punt is high, will come to a receiver and tackled immediately after hauling it in. Who is that? Oh, it's Santos.
Santos, yeah.
I thought it was 22, but it's Santos. Hmm.
So it's the 35 and 15, 33-yard punt.
Would you believe from scrimmage Peabody has more yards than Beverly from scrimmage? But Beverly's had a short field for
that,
a good portion
and
of
it. One of the touchdowns was off a kickoff return.
Yep, 189 yards for Beverly, Peabody rather, 185 for Beverly. So it's 1st and 10 for Peabody at their own, 37?
Yes, sir.
5:43 left to go in this one. Santos, the ball carrier, up the middle, and just slammed around after about a 6-yard gain out to the 43. Goodness gracious.
I think we're seeing some clean jerseys on the defensive side of the ball, too, for Beverly.
29th carry for Doug Santos. 179 yards, 5:20 left to go. No scoring in the fourth quarter. Madden, the only touchdown of the second half. 28-7, Beverly. I formation, Santos to tailback. Handoff, run play, up the middle, first down to the 50.
All right, now you're just riding the horse.
7-yard gain, 30th carry. 30th carry. Good God. Well, I can't believe it. I can't even add anymore. I can't. I just can't do it. How many yards did he get? 7? I'm so
confused.
6 yards? Okay, 185 yards.
And another first down.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And that's just from scrimmage, the 185?
Yeah, 185 from scrimmage, but 30 carries, hello. It's not like a walk in the park. Fumble.
All on the ground.
Uh-oh. D'Amato is going to be driven down back inside his own 40. Oh, boy. He picked it up and ran the wrong way.
Yeah, Kyle Schwenard got through. The ball was on the ground on the exchange from center. And quarterback had to pick it up and go someplace. And he went around, turned around like he was going to get rid of it, but he just lost the race with Schwenard. And it drops the ball back to the 40-yard line. So it is 20 yards and second down.
Well, it's just one of those nights for Peabody, and once again, Beverly just playing almost flawless football.
Yeah, a complete game.
Yeah, everything. What do they say? The three phases, all three phases?
Mm-hmm.
Inside the 4-minute mark, shotgun formation for D'Amato. Beverly showing blitz. They're coming, but it's picked up. Pass thrown, complete at the 45 to the 40 to the 30-yard line, and a tremendous pickup by the Peabody Tanners, John Villani, with the catch.
Yeah, the line of scrimmage was the 40, and after the catch and run, it's down to the 27. So it's 33 yards, and another first down for Peabody with 3:45 to play in the game.
And the clock is moving. David Pence brings the team out. Junior center, 6 feet, 220. Three receivers off to the right side, and it's a pistol formation as D'Amato fires it underneath. It is complete to the 25, and struggling to get yardage is Daugherty, but he's going to be stopped well short of the first down.
Yeah, he'll get 4 on that.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've seen the quarterback go to the air twice and completions twice. Timeout on the field taken by the Peabody Tanners. Presentation of MSONewsSports.com is brought to you by Harrington Trophy, rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years at 557 Chestnut Street in Lynn, HarringtonTrophy.com. Attorney Robert J. Madruga, see Bob for all your estate planning and tax preparation. My Gloria Food Store, consistently Beverly's number one deli, and the Lynn Museum at 590 Washington Street in Lynn, combining with Lynn Arts, building a vibrant cultural center in downtown Lynn. Check them out at lynnmuseum.org.
Talking with Peabody AD Phil Sheridan before the game, talking about how many events were taking place here at the high school today, interscholastic events. And it was volleyball, it was soccer, there's football, just so much going on. Fernando Braz was looking at us across the way. I remember when he was a runner here. Pass play for Peabody, but D'Amato is going to run with it instead. He'll get to the 20, to the 15, and out of bounds inside the 15. Matt D'Amato. Junior quarterback, 6'1", 155. At the 14-yard line.
You got 11 on that.
Yeah, first down. So this is the, I believe, the deepest penetration all day.
You are correct. Well,
for Peabody, they are at the 11. I'm sorry, they're at the 14-yard line.
From scrimmage, you're correct.
Mm-hmm. So 3:12 left to go in the game. Clock stop. 28-7, Beverly. They're going to spread the field. Empty back. Well, it's not an empty backfield. One back to block with D'Amato. As we've got man in motion. D'Amato looks to the right. It's intercepted at the 10-yard line. This is going to be returned out to the 30 by a linebacker pulling his way forward, knocking bowling pins down. And Beverly, Nick Shares with the interception, returns it out across the 40.
Shares with the interception takes the steam out of the Peabody Tanners here. 3:02 playing the football game. Beverly with a 28-7 lead. And you were correct, Rick, because the closest that Peabody had gotten prior to being on the 14 was the 20, which led to the 20-yard touchdown run by Doug Santos. But now Beverly with 3:02 and a 21-point lead here in high school football, which is being brought to you on MSONewsSports.com by Columbia Insurance of Lynn, offering home, auto, condo, renters, and business insurance for complete peace of mind, and by the Porthole Restaurant. Try their award-winning clam chowder. The Porthole provides a great dining value, combining quality with quantity.
I kind of forgot about the touchdown.
Yeah?
I totally forgot.
Said it was from scrimmage.
Okay. No, you've done good. You've done good. You bailed me out. 3 minutes left to go. Beverly at their own 39. Schwernard with the pitch around the right side. Squares it up and gets a yard or two across the 40 to the 41.
Going to get, I'm seeing two up to the 42.
Mm-hmm. More second down.
More football tomorrow afternoon at 12 noon as Gloucester travels to Foxage Field in the Big Blue of Swampscott. That'll be a video stream game as well here on MSO News Sports.
And how cool is that? High school football live streaming. Come on. And you can pick it up anywhere. And free. It's for free. Hello. Second down. I mean, I look at all these membership websites. We're for free. Split backfield.
Tell your friends.
Behind the quarterback, Morency. Hand off. It's going to be on the ground for a couple to the 42 or 43. Couldn't tell you who the ball carrier is, but we'll figure it out. Schwernard again. Clock moving. 1:55 left to go in the game. Ball is at the 44. Rather academic at this point. So Beverly Panthers have come in here with a fired-up Peabody crowd, a fired-up Peabody Tanner football team, and Beverly came out with that no-huddle offense and just handing the ball off to everybody, the line doing what it's supposed to do, and coming away with a huge win here in Peabody.
Which at 28 points is actually under their average for the first two games of the season.
Here's a run play to Rodding. He's going to get the first down and more all the way down to the Peabody 48-yard line. So, Panthers keep it on the march, keep it on the ground. 1:17 left to go in the game. Clock will resume as they move the chains.
And Beverly taking their time in the huddle. The first half and good portion of the third quarter was run virtually no huddle for almost every play. And here with the 21-point lead and 63 seconds in the game, they slowly approach the football.
All right, we will wrap it up in a second here as they take a knee, and then we'll take one quick break, and then we'll do our final summary. As just a very, very impressive win by the Beverly Panthers tonight, coming into Peabody. The Tanners flying high after last week and playing well against Wellesley, but just playing much better last week. And then Beverly coming in here with their third consecutive really one-sided win. And although the total offense doesn't show it from scrimmage, they were dominant. And their special, I don't think you say enough about their special teams. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's it. Final knee, final score. Beverly 28 and Peabody 7. We will take a quick break and we'll come back and wrap this thing up. 28-7. Peabody succumbs to Beverly tonight.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Final score here at Coley Lee Field in Peabody is Beverly 28 and Peabody 7. Peabody had the football to start the game as Madden kicked off. Five plays later, Jordan Rodding makes the fumble recovery, and Beverly gets the football on the Peabody 24-yard line. The Peabody defense was stout. Beverly had one first down in the series and was forced to kick a field goal from the 8-yard line, and it went wide to Arnier's side, which is probably the only thing that didn't go very well or exactly right for the Panthers. On the ensuing kickoff, the next possession, Peabody got seven plays, had to punt the football away, which set up the Beverly scoring drive, which started from their own 38-yard line. It was capped by an 83-yard run. Madden's kick was good for a 7-0 Beverly lead just at the start of the second quarter. Peabody came back, and Santos is a 55-yard kickoff return, setting up what was the Doug Santos show through most of this football game. He carried the ball most of the time in that drive, and the drive was capped with 6:54 to play in the half. As Santos brought the ball in from the 20, D'Amato's kick was good, and it was 7-7, and that is as close as this football game would be. As on the next kickoff, Chris Miller picked the ball up at his own 30. On the kickoff, ran it back 70 yards. Madden's kick is good, and it's 14-7 Beverly, and we're still in the second quarter. Santos brought the next kickoff back 23 yards, but the Peabody Tanners were forced to give the ball up on downs. Beverly took over at the 41-yard line of Peabody, and the ball was brought in by Malumba. The kick was good, and it made it 18-7 with Beverly on top, and that is the way we went into halftime, 21-7, with Beverly on top. Then in the third quarter, the opening drive of the third quarter for the Beverly Panthers, a 34-yard kickoff return sets up a Matt Madden for a touchdown, five plays and 35 yards. Madden's kick is good and makes it 28-7. And that is the way this football game ends. Beverly goes to 1-0 in the conference, 3-0 in the season. Peabody drops to 1-2. Overall, and 0-1 in the conference. Beverly now has scored 107 points in three games, and it's given up 13.
That's the only stat that counts, that and 3-0. The offense, total offense, doesn't tell the story. 185 yards from scrimmage for Beverly, 248 yards from scrimmage for Peabody, but all that special teams work for Beverly once again makes a huge difference. The other stat of note, Doug Santos, 30 carries, 185 yards.
And over 100 yards in two kickoff returns.
Yep, so we're talking almost 300 yards all-purpose for Doug Santos, the amazing running back for the Peabody Tanners.
If this was an away game, they would have had to have carried him onto the bus.
Yes. All right, so Peabody will be here, home against Marblehead next Friday night, and that will be our live streaming video game, as Paul Ingram and I will be here for that one. And then Beverly will be traveling to Lynn English next Friday night as well. So I think it's it.
Yeah.
That it?
It's an entertaining game. Very fast moving.
Okay, thanks for helping out.
My pleasure.
All right, that's Marty Smith. I'm Rick Moore. On behalf of our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, we wish you a very pleasant good evening. Final score from Peabody, it's Beverly 28 and Peabody 7. Good night.
This is NSO Web Radio at morestuffonline.com.